welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Bonaducci.
Good morning, Adam Carolla. Good morning, Teresa Strasser. Good morning, Brian.
866-901-ADAM. Had to look up because I didn't remember it. We're on vacation for a week. 866-901-ADAM is the phone number. Well, let's find out what everybody did. Teresa?
Yes.
You first.
I was here, and I spent every day with Dominic.
That's your man.
Yeah.
So you spent the entire vacation on your back?
Sometimes I was on my knees.
Other times on the knees.
We got to mix it up. I can't just throw fastballs at him. I got to throw some junk.
Yeah, otherwise he'll start timing it.
Right.
And that's when he starts hitting you around.
No, but on a more wholesome note, he met my dad. I got a drawer.
Lucius or the Jew?
You got a Jew? A drawer?
Yeah, I got a drawer.
He gave you a drawer in the house, in his house.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Big doings over there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very happy.
No, that is wonderful. So, and there's nothing. Look, here's the whole thing. You know, those couples that do that thing where, hey, we're just as in love now as we were the first, you know, month we met. It's been 26 years. Then you guys never were that into each other. Because, look, it never gets better than the first couple of weeks or first couple of months. It just doesn't. And it doesn't with anything.
I don't think it does with the first dinner.
Yeah, no.
After dinner, it starts going downhill.
The more you know about anything, the worse it is.
Yeah.
It's like the first bite of the hot dog is great, and then when someone takes you a tour of the rendering plant where they render the beef and they strip the whatever, it's like eventually it's like, oh, God, I never want to see this goddamn hot dog ever again.
I swear to God, that's a great analogy.
That's how it works.
With any new girl? I give her the first bite of the hot dog, and she thinks this is really good. But by, like, week two, she never wants to see a wiener again.
Well, I think the graph, I think for maybe the first 3 months, you're still going upward. Then maybe you level off, but that hasn't happened yet.
Look, the reality is whether it's a new car, a new house, a new job, a new city, a new relationship, the bloom is usually off the rose at a certain point. Now, I'll stick with the job analogy. It's great if you can keep evolving in your work for thinking of new reasons to invigorate you on a Monday morning kind of thing. And that's nice in a relationship when you can evolve it, but it'll never be the kind of excitement. Just think of show business. You get the audition, you nail the audition, you get the phone call 2 days later. It's your agent telling you you've got the job, you're moving to New York. You'll never feel better about the soap opera at that point.
Right.
At some point, it's going to turn into a job.
Yeah.
And at some point, possibly year number 3 or 4, you'll wish you never took the job.
And say so.
You'll claim it's bringing you down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could have been a great actor. Now you're Dr. Dex Rexler.
I was going
3 weeks to live.
Yeah.
Right.
No, you're absolutely right. And I'm trying to, I'm well aware of it because, you know, at 29, it's not my first time at the rodeo.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to embrace that this is the best it's going to be. Like, we went to see that movie Knocked Up, which is kind of a crappy movie, and I was a little bit bored.
You're not in love with a Mo?
Mm-hmm. No, this was the nice thing. He saw the movie despite the fact that he didn't want to see it. And then he said, I'll go to that movie so I can watch you watching the movie.
Wow.
Sweet.
Wow.
And when by watching you, I mean watching the back of your head whilst you're bent over my lap.
Yeah, I want to know what you guys did over the break.
Well, I fell in love with my kitties all over again. Yes, I the girl has now warmed up to me.
Finally.
And is starting to become a fan of Daddy. And I just hadn't spent that much time with them really since they were born.
Yeah.
Honestly.
I think you took off a day.
I was out of town a couple of weeks ago, and then when the kids were born, which about a year ago, I started shooting this movie and had a bunch of jobs and stuff. And I'd spend time with them, but I didn't spend full
time
with them, like serious bonding time with them. And I had a great time with them. It was totally rewarding. And I thought I had to get out of this mindset of I always want to do things like maybe the work around the house is just a physical manifestation for doing something right. all the time. But I always want to be working on something or doing something, preferably some sort of project, because it's very tangible.
That's, you know, I describe you like that.
You do.
I say Adam wants to leave something for you to see, for you to drive across, for a bridge, a building. I don't know what it is. Adam wants to leave something real when he goes.
I want something to change all the time. And so after, you know, killing an afternoon just wrangling your kids, all you do is you sit there and one starts running one direction, the other starts running the other direction. You go chase one down, and then the other is grabbing a potpourri bucket and turning it over on their head.
Sure.
And then you're saying, no, don't eat the fake pine cone, sweetie pea. And then you're running over to the next one who's knocking over a coffee mug that you didn't think they could get to because it was on the counter, but they could just get to the handle. And you do that, and then you think to yourself, what am I doing? I've spent an entire afternoon essentially not doing anything. And then you think, no, you've spent the entire afternoon doing the most important thing, but if you do it again tomorrow, you'll kill yourself. So let's go get a Mexican to get in here and do the wrangling.
God, you were scaring me for a second. I was like, who are you? Adam Carolla?
Yeah.
Now you're back.
I also saw Transformers with Bald Brian.
Oh, you did?
And Mike as well.
How was it?
Commercials look awesome.
Yeah, it was fun. It was good. It was the same thing that I've been saying about almost every movie. Maybe it's been a self-fulfilling prophecy, and we'll get into more detailed breakdown of the game film a little bit later on in the show, and Brian will help us out on that. But ever since I announced, I think I walked out of the first Pirates of the Caribbean 2.5 years ago or something, and I said, great movie, 25 minutes too long. So essentially, and then every critic I heard review the movie said, great movie, 20 minutes too long. Right. And at, $200 million budget, well, it's what, $2 million a minute or whatever it works out to be.
So insane.
The point is you just spent $45 million to make this movie from an A into a B.
Yeah.
That's essentially what it's done. Ever since I announced that, almost every movie I've seen, I've walked out of, including Knocked Up, I've walked out of going, good movie. Could have been a great movie if they lopped off about 16 minutes.
Absolutely.
They went too long. And the thing about this movie, same thing, although time passed much more quickly in this movie than many other action movies. It was 2.5 hours long. Still could have been 2:15. And that seems to be the only critique of the movie that anyone has offered up is, it's a little bit long. No, it's not bad at all. But again, as a business model, the idea... And here's another thing, too. You know, when your movie's 2.5 hours long versus hour 50 minutes long, it can only play 4 times as opposed to 5 times
right.
over at the Cineplex, which means 20% less dough for you. If you think about it.
I had not thought about it. That makes perfect sense.
I never thought about it either, but somebody pointed out to me that an hour and a half movie can play 6-7 times. And I'm just making this stuff up, but you know what I'm saying? A 2.5 hour movie plays 4 times. So thus, 40% less revenue, people going through the door.
That is assuming people are going through the door.
Right. That is assuming that. It's a big leap. Point is they spent an extra $40 million to make this thing 20% worse. And that's my only beef with it. That and... don't get me started, actually.
I think we're going to have a review
later. All right, we'll review it. Danny, you went to Maui?
Yeah, you sure you want to get into this?
Mm-mm.
Perhaps when we come back?
Let's see. All right, give us a little tease, and then we'll go to break.
All right, let's see. Violently ill, broke up with my girlfriend.
What?
She flew home 2 days early. My child support went up by $2,000, and I don't think I'm allowed to live at my house anymore. So how was your vacation?
Danny!
Boy, it's like a Don Ho song. It's like a song from one of the Elvis movies from the 50s. Wow.
Oh, my God.
Violently ill.
Amy flew home early.
You know what? I like her better now because of that. Because she threatened to leave Maui over essentially... nothing. She was just taking a stand.
Mm-hmm.
And she was right, but it wasn't that big of a stand.
Right.
And I'm just calling her bluff. Who's going to leave Maui 2 days early? Travel worm got us scooted up to this huge-ass suite right over the ocean. Mm. I mean, talk about romantic. Well, there's another island. I don't know which one it is. Outside my window. And I wake up at like 3 in the morning, and there's a full moon over that island. And I've awakened Amy a lot to get to work in the morning, and she goes right back to sleep. So I don't think she'll get mad. I wake her up, and she goes, what? And I said, I just couldn't stand looking at something that beautiful without you seeing it. Mm-hmm. And she like woke up and was all romantic and in love and life was bitching. And then it stopped.
All right. Well, that's a good place to stop. I want to, I actually like that as a bigger topic. I feel like almost everyone who's listening to the show could tell you some story about a vacation gone bad.
Yes. Oh, some of the people around me that weren't with me were affected by my vacation going bad that are now telling stories about I went on a island, a huge island, and my vacation was ruined because the Anibaladucci was there.
Yeah, I've had that. I mean,
I've left early.
It's one of these things where you don't think it's ever gonna. You know what it is? It's like when you're traveling in your car, you get all buckled up and you look right and then left and then right again and you signal and all that stuff. And then you jump into a cab in New York. You don't put your seatbelt on. You're bouncing around the back seat while some guy from some country you can't pronounce who has an expired license and probably a couple hits of Robitussin in him is weaving in and out of traffic. And you're carrying on and talking to the person next to you and laughing and discussing where you're going. You think you can't get into an accident.
Right.
It's the same mentality you bring into taking a vacation. We're going to have a great time. We can't have a bad time. But you don't realize the parameters are all the same. It's you and the person you didn't get along with that well stateside locked in a smaller room.
I told my wife after 15 years of marriage, the first time we ever went to Europe, because she used to go because I had to work. She used to go for my radio station because we played music concerts. So she'd go. But I had never been to Europe with her. And when we went, and we were done, we got back, I looked at her and I said, you know, you never really know a person till you travel with them.
Yeah.
And she said, what the hell are you talking about? We've been married for 15 years.
It's a pressure cooker.
I would assume, I know, but it's taken very lightly. So I assume you all have horror stories. Well, here are Danny's.
Cannot wait.
Story of Maui. And Angie, producer Angie, was there, too. I wonder if she heard the screaming or caught any of the secondhand smoke.
No?
We'll take a quick break.
No, she got lied to a lot and doesn't know it, though.
Hmm. Seriously, you are an alcoholic.
Just drunk.
Take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaduce, and Teresa Strasser. Here's what's coming up this morning with program director Jack Silver.
Today's show is going to suck, peeps. Not! We got Music Monday, songs that get stuck in your head. Ozzy and Ray review Transformers. And speaking of Transformers, we sent along super geek sound guy Brian to do a little nerd walking. Ugh, Brian in a microphone. Talk about radio kryptonite. I mean, don't even know what kryptonite is. You let her read comic books. Not a geek.
Thank you, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw it as well with writer Mike and Bald Brian over the weekend in the Cinerama Dome. So I'll jump in on that one as well.
Bald Brian, did you get to, like, snuggle your head on Adam's shoulder a little bit?
I took advantage of the I did that thing where I bought somebody a seat who I wasn't sure could go or not, and they couldn't go, so I had to eat the ticket, and then just rationalize, all right, so I'll have some elbow room. I have an empty seat next to me. Last time I did that with the same guy, somebody sat in that seat,
really?
As I told you.
Yeah,
yes.
That's right.
And then it became a weird dilemma for me because I couldn't tell him, excuse you, that's somebody's seat, because that somebody would never show up in that
right.
seat. So I was freaked out it would happen again, you know. I don't have enough chutzpah to say to someone to get out of the seat, even though I paid for the seat, if no one is going to sit in that seat.
When I was on my way to Australia one time with my at least one child, one child and my wife, and I was laying across like four seats in the very back of the plane, and the stewardess comes up and she says something about sitting up and making room for others. There's plenty of room on the plane. And I looked at her with a straight face and I said, I bought all these seats. I said, I don't fly first class because I like to lay down. So I bought four coach seats so I could sleep. Now, I don't know if she should have a chart or whatever, but right. she bought it and went
just
away.
Just kept moving, huh?
Yeah.
Smooth.
Yeah, thank you. And I was asleep, dude. I can lie in my sleep.
Yeah.
You know,
he can lie while
special,
he lies.
It's a special
yeah.
skill.
Lie while he lays. Well, speaking of not getting laid, you were in Hawaii. You were in Maui. You left right after the show on Friday.
Yeah, immediately.
Is that true?
Got right home, got my bag, got to the airport, and went away.
And you left on a high note because, as I recall, on Friday, she texted you something like, when I think about you, I throw up chocolate hearts.
What I wrote her a like one of those crazy-ass Shakespearean love letters on text, if you can.
Mm-hmm.
And she wrote back, I love you, or something like that. And I go, well, you're starting to suck at this game. Because, you know, we don't like try and outdo each other, but it is fun, you know, because that's one of the things I always said was a problem with Gretchen and I. She wasn't really romantic. And there's this long pause where I didn't get text. And finally I got, I love you so much you make me want to vomit chocolate hearts, okay? And I thought, yeah. Okay.
Right, so things were at a high when you left.
Yeah, plus she had just been with me through surgery, and that turned out, the surgery on my throat turned out to be really, like, bad. That the there wasn't four polyps, there was 14.
Ooh.
And it made an actual solid. You couldn't see my vocal cords at all.
So where does the thing go south? I mean, you head to Hawaii,
okay, so
you leave on Friday.
We head to Hawaii. She has never flown first class before.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not paying for first class. That's never going to happen on my dime. I don't understand it. You know, mm-hmm. I'm 5'6" and I don't drink. It's all first class.
Right, right. So, yeah, for those of you who want a little clarity here, it'd be one thing if the coach flight was $389 and first was $725.
Right.
Then you kind of think about it. Well, you get another $60 worth of food and booze and a couple extra inches of elbow room. But the idea that the first class flight is
$3,500 a ticket.
You get to the destination at exactly the same time. And by my calculations, the flight for me was a half hour longer because I got on the plane first and then watched you give me the stink eye while you
right.
drag your Samsonite past me.
Well,
I don't know what's in it. I like flying first class because
so
I'm 6'2 and my knees are pressed up against whatever.
Do you
and
know if you're 6'4, you can board early?
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's in the little handbook.
Huh.
Jeez.
With the babies and the handicapped.
You may have to borrow some cowboy boots, dude. Jeez, I can get on that plane early. Look, the advantage. They say it every time. We'll digress for 1 second. We'll get back to the Maui disaster.
Yeah,
but they
I'm
do this thing where they're like, you get to board early. Getting to board early is not the advantage. Getting to leave early
yes.
is
right.
the advantage. It's like somebody said, hey, we're going to take our car and we're going to drive to the Grand Canyon. Okay. How long's the drive? It's about 7 hours. Okay. What time are you guys pulling out? We're leaving at noon, but you can get on at 11:15. So I get to sit in the back of the SUV for 45 minutes? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
man.
You're a privileged customer. And what do I do in the back of the SUV for 45 minutes? We'll have other people walk past you. Now, once in a while, you can try to flag down one of the stewardesses who's going to be very busy helping one of the hundreds of people that pass you, argue with them about what can fit an overhead
yeah, sure.
thing. So every once in a while, you can say, excuse me, can I get some champagne? And then she'll give you the stink eye and go, sir, I'm busy working with somebody here, and that'll be it. So the car's leaving at noon. You get to get into the car at 11
right.
and then sit there. So for everyone else, it's a 7-hour ride. For you, it's an 8-hour ride. Here's what first class is. When everyone is loaded and you got my drink poured, come get me. I'll be playing Miss Pac-Man over at the TGI Fridays over here. Come get me. I want to be the last goddamn person on that plane, not the first.
Yeah.
What is that?
Well, the problem with that is, though, because I do that, I'll sit at the bar, the restaurant, whatever it is, right across, if there's one right across the street from the, or right across the hall from the gate,
mm-hmm.
and I'll watch that last passenger slip that ticket in and get up and go over.
They will come call, they will call you and you can get on.
The problem with that is, they're just past the ticket taker lined up.
Right.
Trying to put that stuff
right.
in the overhead thing. You'll right. still be 45 minutes trying to get on the plane now.
Well, anyway, you fly coach.
No, first class. Somebody
else fly.
Travel Worm, I cannot tell you because I want to make that really clear. I was afraid to even tell this story because Travel Worm hooked me up and they did everything perfect. They could not have been better. They could not, had they been in the room with me, avoided what was going to happen.
Yes, so now arguably you guys may be a little bit jaded about flying first class, going to Hawaii, taking trips, but Amy is 24.
As of yesterday.
Happy birthday. And yeah, so she was probably thrilled to be sitting on the plane.
Yes, she was. No, the whole thing was thrilling. She's been to Hawaii. I think her family comes for some reasonable money. She's well-traveled. But no, she's never flown first class. She's young. She's never been on a trip with a man. And I like all of that, you know? I hear the words, oh, wow, I've never done that before, a lot from this kid, which I really like.
Yeah.
Because my other last girlfriends have said, God, I haven't done that all day.
Has she done that?
You know?
Right. Right.
Yes.
So
one time.
Yeah.
In Maui.
No.
All right.
Well, kind of, but not in a fun way.
So you go first class.
Everything's just
fine. You go to
fine.
Maui. Everything's great.
Car, I mean, they took care of us. The car is waiting for us. We got in a little fight right there at the dollar. Not a little fight, a kind of serious fight, because I got nervous.
At the rental car place.
They take you by shuttle, and this is not important story, a part of the story, so I'll move it rather quickly. I go out to get the car, where it is, open up, put the luggage in, and she's nowhere to be found, and it's a big lot. It's like five car rental places combined. It's huge. And I turn around, no aim, and I start asking people if they've seen her. And now they're getting like involved in the excitement of where the hell is she? You know, I'm going, no, she has red hair, and she had this kind of bag. And other people are going, hey, have you seen a girl with red hair, blah, 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 blah. So I finally run around the building to the front, and she's just sitting on a bench going, dude, yeah, we made it. We're fine. She's talking to her sister. And even though she feels she's done nothing, I've caused hysteria 50 feet away in the back. So I kind of yelled. But
all right.
Wasn't anybody's fault.
You had a little primer argument, but now you get in the car.
We're all cool. We get in the car, drive. It's very hard to get lost on an island, so we got right to the hotel. Everything was good. I'll just tell you, I brought the bag in, but I didn't get it. You know, I just had the throat surgery, right?
Right.
The doctor says to me before I go, he said, this could not be more important that you take your antibiotics. He said, you cannot get an infection in that throat.
Mm-hmm.
You said, you've had major surgery. I didn't want you back on the air this soon. You cannot get an infection in that throat. You're supposed to take 4 a day. It won't kill you if you only take 3, but it won't kill you if you take 5 or even 6. So just remember, if it occurs to you, oh, I'm supposed to take an antibiotic, just take it. Don't look at your watch. Just take your antibiotic. So I go, okay, no problem, dude. So we go out, we snorkel, we're having a good time. And it's a big capsule, but it's a capsule. I can slide a handful of pills down my throat with no water. It's an acquired skill, but I can do it. So I take the one capsule, no big deal, and just toss it in my mouth and go.
Got stuck.
And it's sideways, and at first, I don't know if you've ever choked. I actually choked in a business meeting here with the brass. But at first, you don't want people to notice. You're embarrassed that you're choking.
Yes.
And rather, you don't go yell help. You try and figure out what to do so people don't notice you're choking to death.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I do that till it's too late. People start patting me on the back and thumping me on the back and going like this. And finally, this guy goes, here, drink this. And I just slam this thing down. And the pill goes down, and I'm all cool. And then I went, is that rum?
Oh.
And the guy goes, yeah, it was my rum punch. No. And what do you think my first thought was? Not, I'm an alcoholic, I just had rum.
No.
I know I'm not going to turn into a wildebeest over one drink.
I'm on a medication that's going to make me violently ill if I drink alcohol.
In about 20 minutes, I'm going to be in an ER.
Now, the medication is a separate medication. It's not what we're talking about.
No, it's a pill called Anabuse that I take. I hadn't taken in a year because I haven't had a drink in well over a year, and I didn't feel I needed it anymore. You can't go around taking pills all the time so you won't drink alcohol. You just can't live that way.
Right.
So I had stopped, but when Gretchen asked for a divorce, I thought, because I didn't want a divorce, I figure I'm going to come in here crying, puffy face, red eyes, and the bosses are going to go, is he on the bottle again? What up? So I took the medication, refilled the prescription, I gave it to Teresa.
Right.
I said, will you just give one of these to me every single morning, right in front of your face, so if anybody says, what the hell is wrong with Danny, look at his red eyes and his puffy cheeks, she can say, I don't know, but he ain't drinking. I just wanted somebody to back me up.
Right, but you started taking it, I mean, you took it on your own
for the
before you went to the
6 months.
And no, but then you took it on your own when you went to Hawaii.
Oh, yeah.
I transferred the duty to Amy.
To Amy.
She got in touch with me.
Because I don't expect to be believed. I don't, you know, it's not something I think, how dare you not believe I'm not drinking just because I say so. Right. I've done that 50 times. Any alcoholic's done that 50 times.
So really, you had one sip of Planner's Punch or whatever it was.
Thing to get the pill. I just...
Oh, you chugged the whole thing.
A Dixie cup.
A Dixie cup.
Yeah, it's a cruise. You go snorkeling, they can't have... And there's barely any alcohol in them. Because you can't be responsible for 50 drunks on a boat.
Right. But just that, just the little amount of alcohol that entered your system with the antabuse was enough to make you violently ill?
I don't know what's going to happen here, because I've never done it. I'm scared. My doctor said, if you're on antabuse and you have to get a shot, don't let them use an alcohol swab on your skin.
Right, don't use mouthwash.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I'm scared to death.
Right.
And I'm thinking, please get into the harbor before this happens. Please make this boat get into the harbor before this happens. And I don't start to get sick at first. My eyes start to just burn, and my face turns bright red, which is okay because we're out in the sun and people can't tell I'm not sunburned. But I can tell I'm not making
this. Plus, if you're going to heave, you may as well do it on a boat.
I figured. Yeah. But I've been told that it ain't heaving. It's fetal position on the ground, joking, and heaving.
I went on a half-day fishing trip with Jimmy once where he gets more seasick than anybody I've ever met. He got seasick while we're like pulling out of the off the dock, and for the next 14 hours lay in the fetal position on the deck of the boat with 40 other dudes who were like literally setting their tackle box down next to him, stepping over him. And it's one thing when you're out with your somebody you know and you start getting sick and you're like, turn the boat around. It's another thing when you're vomiting on the way out to the fishing spot and you ain't coming back for 14 hours.
Nobody's turning that boat around.
Oh, that was an awesome day watching him throw up over the side.
So I make it back to the hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm waiting. And sure enough, not only do I get pretty violently ill, because I'm right, there's maybe 2 tablespoons of alcohol in these rum punches that they serve out of these giant containers. But that was enough to get, if not violently, certainly throwing up once everything's out of your stomach.
So you're heaving in the hotel.
I'm now retching, which is kind of horrible.
First you choked on a pill, then you're retching.
Right. Which is why I didn't want to go to the doctor, because that's what that sounds like. Well, I was choking on a pill, and then the alcohol made me sick.
Right.
So, because I'm thinking I should go to the ER, because I don't know how bad it's going to get. But I'm starting to think I can handle this now. I'm sick as a dog, and I'm Ralphing, and it's awful, and Amy's standing by my side, and she's going, you're going to be all right, it's okay. And she has, and I won't divulge too much personal information about her, but she has some experience with alcoholism in a friend, a family member, whatever it is, but she has some very serious experience there. So she's holding my hand, and blah, blah, blah. She said, it wasn't your fault, you didn't mean to do it, you're okay, because I'm now flipping out that I had over 14 months, and technically I'm on day one now again.
Mm-hmm.
She's going, we don't have to count it. It was an accident. You'll be fine. You don't have to start over.
Just I would agree.
I actually asked around, and everybody kind of agreed.
Yeah.
But then I got a pretty smart idea. Because what I've heard is once you've toughed out and it's gone, once you're not throwing up anymore, you can drink.
Oh, no.
And I'm thinking, you know, I'm in Hawaii.
Mm.
There's umbrella drinks everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I could have one.
Sure.
Like a gentleman out by the pool.
It's mostly pineapple.
And a guy with a white jacket will call me Mister. And
he'll
bring me my Mai Tai, which floats in 3 different beautiful colors.
Mm-hmm.
And so I finally, after a day, this isn't like soon, after a day, I go down to the pool. And I go for it. I say, I'm going to order a drink. Mm-hmm. And Amy looks at me and says, if you take one sip of alcohol, I will leave this island.
So the antabuse is a pill you take every day.
You can take it. I usually take it once every other day just to save the money.
It has a long half-life, very long, mm-hmm. for a medication. So it even if you took it 2 days before, it would still have an effect.
If you took it, I've actually, the closest, because I thought I was done taking it, I took it 5 days before I went on a cruise ship because I intended to drink.
Mm-hmm.
This was years ago, and I told Gretchen, I said, I'm going to drink on this boat. Forget about it. Mm-hmm. So I stopped taking the pills like 5 days before, and I still got sick, but not bad, and throw up, and my eyes burned.
But you figure
I had taken one this morning.
But you figured that you'd sort of yacked it out of your system.
Well, I've heard that. I've heard of alcoholics that are so bad. They do it. It's called drinking through it.
Mm-hmm.
You drink, you get that violently ill, so you can now drink.
So you wanted to have a drink by the pool.
Right.
Be called Mister.
Amy said, no way.
Right. Rightly so.
And threatened to leave the island.
Yeah. To which I called BS. Mm-hmm. I said, nobody's leaving this. No one's leaving paradise over this.
Right.
You're going to say it. You're right. Going to yell. You're going to go pack, maybe. You might even call a cab. Mm-hmm. But you'll wait for me to come and stop you. You're not going anywhere. I'm the king of this game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
So did you order the drink?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right in front of her.
Mm-hmm.
And she came, it came out.
Mm-hmm.
And I took the umbrella out. And I said, does this count as a sip? And I dipped the pineapple in. And I went like that. And she goes, yes. Mm-hmm. And turned around and went up to the room. So you can see me from the room. So I sat it down. I didn't drink anymore, but I'm thinking, I'm not going to go up and be a puss.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go up. Don't go up. Don't go up. The drink's now melted and hot. So my whole entire alcohol consumption is a pineapple.
Mm-hmm.
And I go up to the room, and the bitch is gone.
She left.
Yeah.
She's
packed
gone.
And everything. So I go, I got her. She's still not going. She's not going. No way. This is a search for me thing.
Right.
Now, text me from the airport. Her flight's 8 hours from now. All I have to do is make all these promises and blah, blah, blah. And the promises I want to make. It's like, of course I'm not going to start drinking when I got home. I've ruined my life. I'm sorry I did this. This was dumb. But I didn't like being pushed around, even though I was being pushed in the right direction. And I said, just come back. I'll never do it again. I'm terribly sorry. It was a mistake. The first time was an actual accident. And the second was a mistake. I shouldn't have done that with the pineapple thing. When you said to leave, I know my problem. I know I can't do it. I thought, I'm texting all this. This is taking me forever. I'm dyslexic and have fat thumbs. So, you know, this is taking me to her flight by the end of the first text is only 4 hours away.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, please come back. I'll never do it again. Blah, 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 blah. She goes, no, come home with me. Get off this island. Come back.
I mean, she wouldn't accept any answer other than you're leaving with me.
Yeah.
Mm. She sounds like she's had a little history.
Yeah.
As you mentioned.
As a very serious.
And also, I think I have to support that because.
So do I,
don't
unfortunately.
They say to alcoholics, you should avoid people, places, and things that are tempting for you? And
absolutely.
Hawaii was obviously
tempting.
The
only thing she did that made me really mad is she called my wife.
Uh-oh.
And said, what should I do? And she said, you should get on the next plane and go home.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. So I texted her.
Benedict Arnold.
I said, really? I said, is that the best you can do for a guy you allegedly love is call the ex-wife whose divorce settlement isn't final and say, you know, Danny's drinking and I have to run from the island.
Yeah.
I have to run screaming from the island when nobody's... I've had one thing to get the pill down and then sucked on a pineapple. That's my whole thing. But I don't like come home with me. You know, it's a very expensive vacation. No. I'll come get you, and you can come back with me.
Well, but you got to ask yourself, somewhere in the recesses of your mind, you making the proclamation you were going to have a drink, was, and knowing her history with her proximity to somebody who was an alcoholic, you had to know that that was going to send some kind of message to her.
Yeah.
Somewhere in your mind. I don't know if it was a test.
My mind works different than your mind. I thought the message would be, quick, take all your clothes off and get on your back.
Uh-huh.
And apparently the message was, leave me here.
So she left.
Yep.
Now this is day number what?
Day number, you know what? I'm not positive. I think I only had 24 to 36 hours left on the island once I was well. A whole day was wasted with me vomiting.
How many days were you there total? Was there a week,
Friday to Friday, so seven days.
7 days. So she cuts out a few days early.
Yeah.
Left alone with your beautiful sunset and your SpectraVision to ride out the next few nights.
Oh, my God. What? I was heartbroken. I didn't turn on that TV once.
No porn?
Oh, my God. No, not even a movie, not even real
Isn't
TV.
Isn't porn the most common salve for a male heartbreak?
No, actual salve.
And then you put the porn, then you turn the porn on.
Yeah.
Oh, got it.
So she bails, and I'm there alone, and I don't want you to get too mushy on you on this one, but remember that moon I had to wake her up for? Because I said there, you know, we're in Hawaii at one point. I said, we have to find an experience that we'll never, ever, ever forget. And then in the middle of the night, I saw that moon and woke her up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what has a tendency to come up every goddamn night?
The moon?
In New York City.
Oh.
I know, it's crazy.
All right, so you got back. You patched things up to some degree?
To a very good degree, I would say. But I had to make a bunch of promises that were not difficult to make because I want them anyway. I went 14. I did not have a drink for 14 months because I should drink. I shouldn't drink.
Yeah.
These were easy promises to make. I'm just, I have an issue with a 25-year-old girl telling me what to do.
Well, ultimately...
Even though it's, even if she's saying, stop stabbing yourself in the eye with that fork, it's like, shut up, you're 25.
I think she wasn't telling you what to do. She was just drawing a boundary for herself, which was, I don't want to be here.
That's exactly what she said. That's exactly what she said. She said, I'm not leaving you. And I am taking myself out of this.
Certain way telling you what not to do versus telling you what to do. But ultimately, see, that kind of stuff probably works on Danny, and it works on guys in general. We do like, everyone likes a little yank on the chain.
Yeah.
It's not, everyone says they want to be the alpha dog and the scout leader. It's not always great. Sometimes you want someone to tap you on the shoulder and go, I can get us back to camp. Let me lead for a while. And you go, all right, I'm just going to eat some granola and get to the back of the line. Not all the time. You don't spend your life staring at another guy's ass while somebody else walks you through the wilderness. But once in a while, it is that the whole time I had my own business. And when I say had my own business, I'm not talking about anything big. I'm just talking about working for myself as a carpenter. There were many, many a day I wish I was just employed and working for somebody else and not dealing with collecting the money and paying the people and doing, you know, being the boss isn't always the greatest. No. As a guy, we always claim we want to be the boss, but it is nice. And you see it all the time. I know plenty of guys that are married to women. I know Dr. Drew is married to a woman. He ain't the boss.
Right, I ain't the boss.
And he likes it that way.
He's just big time Dr. Drew when he's out of the house. As soon as he gets home, he's Dr. Pee-Whip. Calling Dr. Pee-Whip. Paging Dr. Pee-Whip.
Well, this is...
Code pink.
Yeah.
So we kind of make up because mostly she wants me to do things that I'm going to do anyway. I got to come back here to work and, you know, start my normal life and all. I was sucking a pipe and pineapple bite me. So I come home and yesterday we went looking for open houses. She found one she really liked and she said, you can... Every day for 5 years if you buy us this house.
Oh, really?
Wait, now this thing that you'll do every
day. You get to have sex with her every day?
No.
She's 25 and all about sex. I've never met.
Oh,
either she went to the class, she went to the kind of school that says never let your man leave the house with an erection.
Right.
Because I almost have no bodily fluids from this kid. She's killing me.
Mm-hmm.
So either that's happening, or she's just a maniac.
Now.
If you buy this place...
Are we talking about the poo-poo platter?
Nope.
Let's see. If you buy this place, you get to do something to her?
Or something gets to be done to you?
Okay. The hint is, it rhymes with place.
Oh, yeah. Face?
Mace?
Or on the nose, so to speak.
You get a whole
story with your face, son.
You get to... Oh, no. Yeah. You know that band Pearl Jam?
Yeah, ooh.
We had this movie, and she goes, why would a guy want to do that to a woman? It just seems so humiliating and demeaning. And I said, that's the point. So she said, no. And then we saw this house, and she said, every day for 5 years.
Wow.
And I said, sold.
Danny's like, is there such a thing as a 20-minute escrow?
Danny, I got you a potpourri dish, and Amy, as a housewarming gift, I got you a welding mask. We're going to take ourselves a quick break. I'd love to hear your
vacation
stories.
Disasters?
Your horrible vacation disaster stories. 866-901-ADAM. Yo, you thought it was going to be great. Maybe... Sometimes you have a vacation disaster because it's too soon in a relationship.
Yeah.
You think you're in love. Right. You've only been out on 4 dates. In your 5th one, you're going to San Francisco for a long weekend. And you don't know each other. It's a disaster. Other times, it's a disaster because the relationship is at the end. And you think you're going to take this vacation and breathe a little new life into the relationship. Turns out you guys were done 6 months ago.
Right.
And this has just brought it all into sharp focus. Or maybe it's dude on dude. Maybe it's you and your buddies are going fishing and somebody falls overboard or something.
One of your buddies? Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. All right. Your vacation disaster stories, 866-901-ADAM. We'll do that next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. We just got back from a week off, and we're talking about vacation disaster stories. So unpack your stories on us, 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Yep, Danny had his little vacation disaster. I was happy to hang out and do junk around my house that only I can do, really. I've really realized, I got there's always a bunch of junk around my house I need to fix or do, and I can't really describe it or get anyone else to do it, and eventually I'll just do it. And I kind of, I like it. I got a garage full of tools. I love putzing around and monkeying with the kids. Had a nice leisurely time staying put. Danny went out. And thanks to Travel Worm, had a disastrous time.
No,
in Hawaii.
Don't do that.
Thank you, Travel Worm.
They were perfect.
Thanks for nothing.
It's just when I actually swallowed the Travel Worm at the end of the bottle.
Yeah.
And T had herself a little F-fest somewhere in Koreatown where she lives.
Oh, are you kidding me? He has air conditioning. I was over there.
Wow.
I haven't been home in 3 weeks. My cats are dead.
Beautiful.
We have cats.
What do you mean you have cats?
Well, I got home Friday,
mm-hmm.
and I took over house responsibilities on Friday,
mm-hmm.
which are take care of the animals. But the animals are the ones that bark that I see. I forgot my daughter has cats in her room.
I'm sure she does.
They'll be fine. They'll be skinny.
Yeah. So we want to hear your disaster vacation stories, 866-901-ADAM. Let's start with Natalie from Palm Desert. Natalie?
Adam, what's up?
What's happening, baby doll?
Not too much. I had a pretty bad vacation. I mean, the vacation itself wasn't bad, but it, like, the only thing I remember of the vacation was this event that happened, and it was only on the trip.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually on the way back.
Now, is this an adult or as a child?
No, I was only about 12, mm-hmm. 12 years old, and we took a lot of vacations from Minnesota to California.
Mm-hmm.
To southern, like the Palm Springs area.
Mm-hmm.
And we were in a conversion van, and it was a hatchback, and the bed was at the middle part of the van.
Uh-huh.
I was lying on that bed.
Yeah, vans, custom vans, conversion vans.
Yeah,
captain's chairs and Blaupunk stereo.
Yeah, paneling. It was actually a pretty comfortable trip. I mean, the trip mm-hmm. was 36 hours, but we go diagonally through Kansas, and it's about 8 hours. Of two lane, 65-mile-an-hour highway, but just two lanes.
Mm-hmm.
And we were stuck behind a semi. And at one point during the trip, we saw this golden retriever, and it was to our left on mm-hmm. the side of the road. And we saw some kids on the right side of the road. And this golden retriever, I don't know if it belongs to the kids, but it looked like it had a collar. It was someone's pet.
Mm-hmm.
And it ran across the road, and it made it through the lanes on the oncoming lanes,
mm-hmm.
but it went right in front of the semi.
Ooh.
And and we were directly behind the semi, so we were just cringing
as
to what's gonna be coming out from underneath the semi. And sure enough, this pile of just guts. I mean, I don't want to be too graphic.
Was it like The Fly when the chamber opened and the thing just fell out? And here's the thing, too, and here's why it's tough on a 12-year-old girl. 12-year-old guy would have thought it was cool. 12-year-old girl, there's not a 12-year-old girl alive that doesn't want to be a veterinarian.
Right.
True.
Yeah.
They're exactly. Every single girl between the age of 7 and somewhere about the time they realize that you have to at least have a C average in order to get into veterinary school.
Right.
Somewhere around like 14 and 7 will tell you, every second girl you talk to says, I want to be a veterinarian. Every single model you talk to now is like, I wanted to work with animals. Right, because you're stupid. And that's what your impulse is. And then you realize eventually you had to do arithmetic and you said, shine this. I'm getting laid. I'm going to go to Paris and model and do coke with guys who are guys who are leaders in the OPEC nations. But now I want to work with. So as a young girl, Natalie, as a 12-year-old who probably had dreams of being a veterinarian, yes?
Yeah, when I was younger, I did, actually.
And what a shocker!
I'm not giving him the amazing marks on that
one. Occasionally, they say marine biologist. But it's usually veterinary.
Yeah, but they're not
right,
the ones
but they want to save dolphins. It's the same thing, just out at sea.
Yeah.
Yeah, that had to be traumatizing seeing that.
That's your is that the entirety of your vacation disaster that you saw Guts?
I think that's the tough part. Yes,
yeah,
Natalie?
Yeah, I mean, it was the only thing to this day that I remember of that vacation.
I gotta say, thank you, Natalie, but you reminded me
of
something.
Now, who else has got some stories?
I don't have any vacation disaster stories because a vacation, if you think about what that involves... First off, it involves two nickels to rub together. Yeah. Then it involves a tank full of gas or an airplane ticket or a bus ticket. Or it involves packing and luggage and all the things that the Corollas. I mean, you may as well have been asking anteaters to go on vacation. I mean, like the idea, I don't even... That's the kind of thing you do once you have a life established where you're at. You have a nice house, you have a nice car, you have a nice job, and at some point you go, let's go to Hawaii. We never got to that stage as Corollas. Always drove me nuts because when I would show up at school, for some reason, and you know what? These goddamn shirts should be outlawed in sizes under extra large. There was a time, and Danny, you probably remember this growing up in the San Fernando Valley. The very popular shirts would say Hawaii 77, Hawaii 1980. And then there was a lot of shirts that said Yosemite, go climb a rock, it said on the back. But it said Yosemite and Hawaii. So I would always, by the way, the Yosemite, which I called Yosemite, right. Because that's the way I rolled, and had no idea where this Yosemite was. And Hawaii, forget about Hawaii. That was a goddamn island that involved a plane flight. No way was anyone going to Hawaii. But I would just stare at all these kids wearing the Hawaii 78 shirt. Ah, the other one. There was another shirt, which was the winter one, which had a it was a ski lodge. No, it was a ski destination, Mammoth. Mammoth. It had a woolly mammoth, like shushing a mogul on it. So half the kids would be rocking the Mammoth shirt. The other kids would be rocking the Yosemite shirt. And the other had the Hawaii 1978 when I was in junior high. And I had one that said Van Nuys written in crayon.
Right. Back to my house.
1971.
Yeah, just to rub it in, they always seem to leave their ski ticket on their zipper.
Oh, on the parka.
Oh, yeah.
On the goddamn parka.
Yeah, I've still never skied.
Yeah, do you really need that?
How dare you?
Do you need that lift pass on your parka full 6 months after?
Yeah, please.
It's August, for Christ's sake. You're wearing a parka with a lift pass hanging off the thing. Drove me nuts. And yes, I'm glad you brought up the parka because that is the third in my have and have not
trifecta.
Yes. It is here's the haves and here's the have nots. As I've said many times, Huffy versus Schwinn.
Right.
Tough skins or super denim versus Levi's and the down parka versus the Dacron.
Ugh.
One, the one that's filled with the cancer causing insulation.
Yeah.
When it tears open, nothing happens. Right. Do feathers, does feathers or cancer come out of your parka when it tears open?
Actually, no matter what I wear, cancer comes out.
Boat sank in a lake on vacation. Ooh. Found out wife was cheating on vacation. Got arrested in a Honduras airport.
I like huge fight in Yosemite.
Huge fight in Yosemite?
I'm going to hit up big on getting busted in, where was it, Nicaragua?
Honduras. Honduras Airport. Good name for TSV.
That kind of thing scares me. The idea of being busted in Honduras.
All right, everyone hang on. I have to
pee.
Yes, I have to shake the dew off the lily. Let's take a break. We got to get back on time. But don't go anywhere, Dan or Rick or Jared or Micah, because I want to hear your horror stories on vacation. Most, I like finding, I'm really curious about finding out somebody was cheating on you while on vacation. Yeah. Take a quick break. Back with that next.
Illinois. A 42-year-old man was arrested for driving while intoxicated on his way home from a convenience store on his lawnmower. Definitely not a Jew.
Well, we have your vacation horror stories just waiting. One I'm particularly interested in is Rick from Rancho Cucamonga. Hey, Rick.
How's it going?
What's happening, Rick? You found out your wife was cheating while you're on vacation?
Yeah, you betcha.
Now, you found out she was cheating before you went on the vacation, or she was actually cheating while on vacation?
No, I found out while we were on vacation that she had been having an affair with my so-called best friend of 20 odd years.
Bad times.
Yeah, how'd you find out?
He was with him. He was on top of her.
We had planned, we decided that we were going to go up to British Columbia and go to Shuswap Lake, rent a nice houseboat, and do 10 days up there. So we made the arrangements. I paid for the whole shot, figured that everybody's going to reimburse me. Never got reimbursed. It got screwed twice. So.
Mm-hmm. But did the best friend go with you then?
Yeah, that's right. Him and his girlfriend.
Which bothered you more?
Excuse me?
The betrayal from your best friend or the betrayal from your wife? I've only had that happen to me once, and I was only 17, and I was more hurt by the betrayal of my best friend.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think that's what killed me. It was 12 years before I talked to the guy again.
Now, again, the vacation was from where to where?
We drove up from California to British Columbia and rented a houseboat on Shuswap Lake.
Now, are you from Canada or Wisconsin?
Obviously, yeah, he's black, yeah, Danny.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
I don't know if they have those in Canada.
They certainly don't have them in Wisconsin.
Yeah, look, I don't want to turn this into a cultural thing, but in the black community, there's a lot of this that goes on.
I can tell.
Any guy who goes to Lake Shushan up in British Columbia and rents a houseboat.
Says, hey there, the wife was having the pair on me.
Yeah. You a man of color, Rick?
No, sir. I'm
what? My what God.
What the?
You shouldn't have judged.
Let me try Adam Carolla's other one. You ready? But you were molested as a child, right?
No, sir, I wasn't.
Oh, this
enough
sucks.
Is enough!
It's the right, worst caller ever.
Now, you're telling me an uncle or Jim Cochin tried to take some utter bomb to your private parts?
No, sir.
Oh, okay.
No, not even the local priest, sorry.
Wow.
Wow, you must have not been that cute.
Yeah. You were rejected by everyone.
So you found out while...
Fat kid.
Did you bust your friend? Is that how you found out? How did you find out? Did she tell you?
Yeah, what happened was everything was going cool. This is the first night we're out there. We did the orientation and stuff. Everything's going cool. We're going to leave the next day to head out across the lake. And... somebody left one of the gates open. I had my daughter with me also at that time, and somebody had left the gate open on the back, and she freaks out, and now she wants to go home. And I thought, man, this is a little, there's something not right here. She's like, she's making a big deal out of, you know, a minor problem. Anyway, so she decides that she's going to take the bus home, of course. I said, no. I said, I'll drive you. We'll go home. So anyway, we get in the car, we take off, we leave the other people there to enjoy the nice vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And on the way home, she fesses up that her and my buddy had been sleeping together for about 3 months.
Mm.
So it was about a 15 day wait for him to come home. And when he pulled up, I confronted him. I asked him what happened, and he told me. So I beat the crap out of him.
Yeah,
felt better. But
that's the lesson you want to teach about telling the truth.
Well, now, I'm assuming those two were sort of planning on getting together on that houseboat.
Yeah.
At some point, right?
Yeah, who knows?
And then it had to be weird for her, because women and guys are both weird about this, which is you're cheating with somebody, but you don't like the idea of them sleeping with their girlfriend or husband while you're cheating with them because you're jealous and controlling and vindictive.
Yeah.
She couldn't stand his girlfriend, just couldn't stand her.
Right, but here's the main. Well, first off, at least you got away from one of the dumbest people on the planet,
right?
Namely your ex-wife, because... The idea, like, Teresa, could you imagine this? Like, you and I are together.
Nope.
But you're sleeping.
Oh, sorry.
Well, you're really going to have to put your wizard hat on for this one. But you're sleeping with Bonaducci behind my back. And then Bonaducci and his gal and me and you decide, hey, it'd be great to get a houseboat and go up to Lake Havasu. How fast would you put the kibosh on that?
Immediately.
You would throw yourself down a flight of stairs and fake an injury not to get on the houseboat with the person you're cheating with and his girlfriend and whatever.
Yes.
You're thinking, this is going to be a disaster.
But nobody knows yet. Nobody's busted.
Oh, see, right.
I'd get in line to make it happen.
You would.
Oh, yeah. That would be a great time for me.
You would see, I would be one.
Oh, I'd be winking. I'd have a
belly full of kittens the entire time I was there.
Listen, no matter where it comes to fruition and people find out and the knives start flying, that it's going to come. Here it goes. Why not on a houseboat stuck together?
Well,
that
I'm
just
like,
sounds great
I'm like
to
your
me.
Friend Jimmy Kimmel. I cannot get on a boat for even 5 minutes. I'm a landlocked Hebrew. I get violently ill, and I don't care for it. Nothing good ever happens on a houseboat.
It's a decent point.
You do have a decent boy. Everyone
Although
else
Tommy Lee would probably beg to differ.
Well, that was like
a regular boat. Totally
a regular
different.
Boat, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought that was a
was
house.
That a houseboat?
It was a houseboat.
Did you live on that?
That thing just looked like a chimney. That was not.
Oh, that was him.
Yeah. Oh.
I'm telling you, I thought he was skippering that thing with his Johnson.
I think he might have been.
All right. Where the hell were we? Let's see. Oh.
I just think that'd be really interesting.
I
you're
see a
doing
delightful
it with
one.
Somebody and you're on a boat stuck there just waiting for the other foot to drop.
Awful.
Queen Mary, not big enough.
I like Zach.
Zach on line four over here. Zach?
Hey, how's it going?
What happened to you on your vacation?
Well, it was kind of a short but long story. Last summer, I graduated from high school, and me and my buddies got a bunch of fake IDs, and we thought, let's go to Vegas and celebrate.
Go to Vegas. So
it sounded like a good idea.
Right.
So we started driving from Oregon to California, and we stayed with some family friends, and we were going to take off the next morning to go to Vegas. Mm-hmm. And we stopped that morning for lunch or breakfast, and we'd got Mexican food. And it kind of tasted kind of fishy, and I had fell on the car trip. I was getting kind of sick.
Mm-hmm.
We made it to Vegas, and we stayed at the New York. We got a hotel room, and I had to stay the first night we were there because I was getting all stomach sick, and just couldn't handle it, couldn't drink or anything.
Mm-hmm.
The next morning, we decided to go hit the strip, and we go to breakfast, and I had two Bloody Marys for breakfast because I'd never seen it before, and I was like, these are pretty good.
True. Yes.
So, all I did was lick a pineapple.
Mm-hmm.
And it just made me more sick. And we decided to walk on the strip, and made it to the M&M factory. And by the time I made it to the M&M factory, I started feeling really, really sick, and I didn't know what to do. So
hold on. You and your buddies with fake IDs went to Las Vegas to go to a candy factory?
Anybody else catch that?
We were checking it out. We were kind of already, we were kind of already plastered from breakfast. And
can I tell you right now, if you put a green M&M up a stripper's keister, she doesn't give you anything special. You want cash.
Here's the other thing, too. The one place you don't need to flash the fake ID is the candy factory.
Right.
Actually, if you're over 21, they catch you with a butterfly net, and they drag you off to a padded room because they want to know what the hell's wrong with you.
And that you want to be around all those children and chocolate.
What the hell?
You're that nerd.
What the hell kind of 18-year-old, the fake ID goes to Vegas so you can go to an M&M factory, unless that's a euphemism for some sort of whorehouse that I'm not aware of, like Chicken Ranch. Hey, everybody! We got a peanut M&M coming in here. Name is Zach. Welcome to the M&M Factory. Who wants a Mars bar? J4. Yeah, maybe M&M Factory is a good name.
Sounds like a strip club.
More memories.
If it was like masturbation and meth or something.
Right.
No, it was just M&M Factory.
It's a good combo, isn't it?
And you got sick there?
Actually, they didn't have a bathroom that I could find. So
speaking of sick, you make me sick, kid.
Yeah.
Fake ID, drives to Vegas.
Come
gets on. The fake ID and flashes it to someone dressed as a giant orange M&M so they can get in an M&M factory.
Come on! I mean, unless you go into the place where they manufacture white wrappers, you aren't going to Vegas for no reason.
M&M factory.
Nice to talk to you.
Nice talking to you,
Dan, need to take a break. Let's see. Boat sank on a lake on vacation. Let's see. Got arrested at a Honduras airport. Let's talk to that guy real quick, Jared. Jared?
Yo.
What happened? What'd you get arrested in Honduras for?
It's a pleasure, by the way. I love all three of you people more than life itself.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Were you going to Honduras surfing or something?
No, we were actually going scuba diving down there. I had been dating a girl, and her parents were like, football player, cheerleader, got married, Lycra shorts, whistle, the whole trip. And I was like green-haired, tattooed, punk rock madman. So it took a lot of groundwork for them to like accept me into their little family unit.
Yeah.
And we all decided to go on this. Well, her dad decided to take us all on this trip to Honduras to go diving.
Second largest barrier reef in the world.
Second biggest?
Yep.
Wow.
And
wow.
Only 50 feet off the shore, not like in Australia where it's 30 miles
out. Reef. Interesting. Nice. So you go, there, and what happened?
We're getting off the plane, and it's got one of those little the little traffic red and green lights as you go through, and they check if it turns red.
Yeah, deal. I know.
I've traveled extensively, never ever heard or seen it turn red, and I'm the first one to go through, and it turns red, and here comes Fritz, the super German Shepherd dog, barking at my luggage.
Yeah, well, what people don't realize, or what a lot of people don't realize, is when you travel into Mexico or Central or South America, they have a very sophisticated way of pulling out the potential drug traffickers. Is they used to have a chicken that just pecked on one side or the other side of a line.
That happened.
Now there's just some red light or green light that randomly goes off when you hit it, and if it goes off and it's red, you get checked no matter who you are.
Right. It's the Pablo Escobar version of red light, green light.
Again. Right.
I'm the only guy in the world who's ever had it turn red. That's my belief, anyways. And but anyway, so the dogs come over barking. Here comes the machine gun, the happy guys. And ended up, I wasn't the great guy that they thought I was, and was arrested in the airport when they decided to, instead of help me out in this extremely stressful, I was like 19 situation, they just left and left me to deal with.
Well, what was in your bag?
Well, back in that time, I was living in the Inland Empire, so, you know.
Speed?
You know, when.
Exactly.
Oh. You had meth in your bag on the way to Honduras.
Well, it wasn't like I had, like, 100 pounds of it, you know what I mean? It was just a little.
Yes, a couple of keys. Here's the thing. First off, how accepting do you have to be as a father to be the sort of all-American football player who marries the cheerleader whose daughter gets hooked up with the guy
with the green
from the Inland Empire with the tats on his neck and the Inland Empire and then decide to go to Honduras with this dude? Like, to me, the greatest sort of offering I could make is we will go out to a buffet and we will eat on a Friday night, right, for no more than 90 minutes and then we will be gone.
Right.
That the idea that we're going to leave the country with this troublemaker, and then, yes, anybody who my daughter decided was going to Honduras with us vacationing and decided to bring a little trucker speed in to Honduras, for Christ's sake.
Honduras.
You can't score in Honduras. By the way, packing the speed on the way in, probably 7,000 kilos past you going the other direction, right, as you're heading that way. The point is any guy stupid enough to do that deserves he's not blood. This is a great way to break clean. My daughter no longer has to have sex with a guy who thinks it's a great idea to pack speed into Honduras.
In Honduras, I get you 8 ball of speed and the chick who brought it to you for $27.
Yes, yeah, so it's like packing up puka shells and macadamia nuts to go to Hawaii.
That's exactly what it's like.
It is exactly that, T. All right, T.
Yes.
You have some news waiting for us, do you not?
Well, your favorite, John Mark Carr, is back in the news.
I heard about him.
And why is Miss New Jersey being blackmailed?
Ah, well, we'll find that out. I have many questions about both cases, and T will shine her light on it next on The Adam Carolla Show. Hey, it's Laurel Hershiser. You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. Yeah, the bulldog, Oral. Hey, T.
Yeah.
What's in the news?
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news today.
I like that new one.
That's good.
What's going on tomorrow or maybe midweek next week? I'll tell you who you're going to find out. There's a plane crash or a terrorist attack that hasn't happened yet.
You'll hear it here first.
That's right.
John Mark Carr, who in 2006 falsely confessed to the 1996 murder of child beauty pageant princess JonBenet Ramsey.
That sings like a lark, that pedophile.
Yes, this piece of footage came out of him singing at a wedding, and you, Adam, decided to track down the song, and we've now heard it thousands and thousands of times.
Well, this is why I'll be suing TiVo after my divorce, because when this baby popped on Entertainment Tonight 6 months ago, I grabbed for that remote, did a shoulder roll, and I screamed, "I know that song." My wife screamed, "Who cares?" And I said, Oh, I care.
Oh, yeah.
I have to go find that song.
Well, he created a huge press stir, as you'll recall.
I got in this condescending conversation I've had with many people many times. You know that song, right? No, I don't. You don't? No, I don't. You don't know that song? No, I don't. You've never heard that song? No, I haven't. I think you know that song. I'm telling you, I don't know that song. I guarantee you know that song. I realize how horribly condescending it is me explaining to someone that they've heard of something that they swear they've never heard of, but I'm like, I know you know that song. I don't know that song. Then it's always funny when they throw it back on me. What's the name of that song? I don't know, but I know. I know what its name could be. I know this song. I just don't know I know this song. Song could be that name. I'm going to go look it up. Where's the computer? Honey, I don't know how to work the computer. Let's go upstairs. Turn on that magical box and let's find out who knows this song. Is there a mic I can sing into so it'll recognize it? This is why I'm going to get divorced. All right.
Things like that will drive you crazy, though.
Yes.
Police were called to Sandy Springs, Georgia, which is now where John Mark Carr is living, after a reported argument between Carr and his girlfriend. Yes. This, according to Fox News, Carr was taken by police to a hospital after complaining of chest pains. And then he was sent to the county jail. He was charged with battery and obstruction of a 911 call. I guess when his lady friend tried to call 911, he put a stop to it. Police cleared Carr of the JonBenet killing, of course, because the DNA failed to place him at the murder scene. He was released yesterday.
Wait a second. Now, I know there's that segment of female society that finds out that one of the Menendez brothers killed their family and decided to be a nice idea to date the guy from inside the joint. In a way, I almost understand it. You know why?
Why?
Well, that's somebody who wants to be in a relationship but doesn't want to be in a relationship. The person is behind bars. You'll never have an argument. You'll never have any physical abuse. You'll never have a real relationship. It's like...
It's a step up from having an affair with a happily married person.
Right. In fact, I bet a lot of these relationships break up when he gets out of jail.
Yes.
Immediately.
Yeah.
Same thing.
I understand that. But the John Mark Carr thing, you're living with the world's most screwed up guy.
Yeah.
What's in it for you? How fat do you have to be?
Well, he has a lovely singing voice.
Well, true.
Perhaps. Dude, I don't care what kind of Dak Brown that guy wears. When you buckle your belt around your boobs, there's something seriously wrong with you.
There is something incredibly screwed up about him and any woman. And by the way, how's the sell to the family go, hey, who you dating, honey? Oh, hey, you found a man. I told you it would just be a matter of time.
If you think I was a hard sell.
Oh,
would I know him? How would I know him?
You've probably seen him on TV. What's he do, host a game show? No. No, not exactly.
Claims he killed children he didn't actually kill.
Huh? very bizarre. And apparently now he's violent.
Really?
Yeah. Seems like such a peaceful man.
How much damage could he cause? Really?
A decent-sized woman would beat his ass.
Right. All right. And was his dad involved with this? Did he move back home or to his hometown or something? And as a dad.
Oh, please.
Good Christ.
Almost anything else. Almost anything else.
Hey, my son was one of the terrorists that flew the plane into the World Trade Center. Oh, you lucky son of a bitch.
Yeah, because...
God damn, are you lucky.
Not only did he claim that he had killed JonBenet Ramsey, but also I believe there was talk that he was in Thailand to get a sex change. That was never confirmed, but that was the reason he was in Bangkok.
Oh, see, I never heard that. I heard he was there to rent children.
Either way...
Not a great guy.
Either way, the dad, who's probably been a union worker, a UAW man... working over at the Pontiac, Michigan GM plant for the last 28 years. Hey, Herb, isn't that your son on TV playing the guitar? Yeah. Hey, let's turn the sound up. No. We're cool.
Well, yes, it seems these days that a lot of beauty pageant contestants have at one point or another had their friends take pictures of them naked or drunk.
Sure.
Last week, a mysterious blackmailer contacted the reigning Miss New Jersey, Amy Palumbo, and threatened to release a dozen supposedly sexually compromising photos of her to the press. Unless she stepped down.
Can I ask this? Sure. Sexually compromising, do we have different titles for everything? Because... nude photographs wouldn't be sexually compromising, would they?
Well, interesting you should ask, because she went out of her way to call the pictures, quote, normal college girl stuff.
Ooh. Normal girl's gone wild? Normal college girl? Or?
Well, you know, it's a rite of passage these days in college.
Good
to,
times.
Try to experiment with certain things.
Not blackmail, though. It's almost like pickpocketing. It's so old-fashioned, you know.
It is.
Something sort of nostalgic about it.
All I'm going to say is, if you're listening an hour ago, I'll be buying that house.
That's right. Well, this blackmailer said, unless you step down as Miss New Jersey, I'll release these dozen photos. So instead of buckling down, she went public.
Why step down? I mean, why not just get some money out of the person?
If he's a criminal,
that's
you'd think
weird.
He wants the dough.
It's
not,
almost like he cares more about the sanctity of the crown.
Oh.
And there is no sanctity of the crown anymore. Even the real crown that the British royals wear, they're all boning everybody and all smoking meth.
What the hell's going on
it's
with
bizarre.
This cat?
Well, here's the thing. She wouldn't step down, and then this guy sent her another package on Saturday containing a threatening letter and possibly some additional compromising photos. She still refused to back down, and here she is at a press conference last week, defiant.
Being crowned as Miss New Jersey is a dream come true. That dream has now become a nightmare. I'm presently the victim of blackmail and possible extortion. Yes, I could resign and allow this intruder into my life to prevail, but that will not happen.
Oh.
Not now, not ever.
Won't happen.
Not now?
Not ever.
Not ever.
How about... Oh. See, sometimes when they say not now, I go, how about this time next week? But when they add the not ever.
That's how you know.
Yeah.
No, that means a couple of days.
I don't know if you guys watched the Live Earth concert.
I watched bits and pieces of it, yes.
It was held on all seven continents, of course, to highlight issues of global climate change.
Mm-hmm.
And Brain Trust Cameron Diaz had something to say about the Live Earth concerts.
I feel like this is like what's so exciting for me about this day is that it's actually, you know, it's a celebration. It's an exciting time in our history that we get to actually learn about what our choices are and to make different decisions that are, you know, very small. It, you know, if you just do, it really is that thing of like, if you just do one thing.
Yeah.
What in God's holy name are you blathering about?
Now, I'm not positive on this one, but I will tell you from vast personal experience that she doesn't know why she's there.
Yeah.
See, haven't you ever been to a charity and they say, so, Mr. Carollo, what got you involved? And you say, oh, well, it's just a fantastic organization. I've been with them for a long, you know, when you work in this business and sometimes you're, you know, you're overcompensated really for what we have to do. You have to find a way to give back. And I figured this organization was the way to go. And you move along and I don't even know if I'm saving whales or saving kids or who I'm saving.
Yeah, it's pretty much, your phone rings and it's, who's there? It's Bono's on the other line, and he wants you to come out, and you're like, yeah, what the hell? Listen, celebs love other celebs. They're just as into celebs as you are into celebs.
Right, absolutely.
They're just, you know, people all do this stuff all the time with the freebies the celebs get. Like, why do they need the free? They love freebies as much as you guys love freebies. And when I say you guys, I mean everyone is listening to the show, and I'm assuming no celebrities listen to this show. So, they love the freebies, and they love other celebrities as much, maybe more.
Yes.
Because they're involved with the scene.
Right. I'm going to give you guys a choice for my last story. Do you want to hear a very fun drunk driving story? Or...
Wait a minute.
Yes.
I'm not done with this Live Earth business.
Continue.
Couple things.
Okay.
First, I hear all the conservative guys on the radio explaining about how much fossil fuel was burnt getting these celebrities from location to location via their private jet. Please, people.
Don't
mess
with
it. Who cares? Really, the idea is to... And how much garbage was produced by the concert.
Right, and all the internet streaming using electricity.
Look, here's the deal. First off, people went to this concert for 9 hours and they ate some corn dogs and they made some garbage. I understand that. But if they were at home, what do you think? They'd just be hooked up to an IV and not eat anything? Sitting in the dark at home? No, they'd have their TV set on. They'd probably have their porch light on at high noon. They'd be eating and they would be producing waste and garbage the same as they did collectively. So it's a spurious argument. Like,
it is.
It's not like I eat more at a concert. Right, if plus, I were home, I'd be eating fast food, and there'd be the garbage it would be produced for me going through the In-N-Out drive-thru.
And becoming unaware or less aware than you would had you had the same amount of input and output at a rally for something worthwhile.
Yes.
Right. At least you're hearing the information.
Of course. And then the other part is Al Gore talks about this, but he lives in a mansion with 18 rooms, and they are fine. I understand that's how it works. That doesn't make the person a hypocrite. And if they can get to more people and tell them to, hook up those compact fluorescents and whatever, then it's worthwhile. So please, everyone on the right, let's not be stupid about this
and get into
that nitpicking crap, especially when the math doesn't even work out on the producing the waste.
It's true.
All right, that's number one. But on the other side of the coin, I've been using these compact fluorescent bulbs for 10 years. Anybody who's been in a Home Depot in the last 10 to 15 years has been well aware of these things. Why do we need concerts to bring this to the forefront of everyone's imagination? Shouldn't the government be pushing this stuff? And what about all the worthless PSAs we've heard over the last 20 years about airport, laptop, computer security, and buckle up, and click it or ticket, or secondhand smoke?
Maui.
Yeah, what about, I mean, really, secondhand smoke? This is a bigger issue. Everyone knows somebody who's died of secondhand smoke inhalation. This is a bigger issue.
Yeah.
We've seen this coming for years. Why doesn't the government get involved? And when I hear Mayor Bloomberg proudly announce that he's going to convert City Hall in New York City to a greener, now? You're converting now? What goddamn year is it? And how long have we been hearing about this? Why now? And the reason it exacerbates me to no end is, if you'd done it 10 years ago, if you'd taken all the bulbs, the incandescent bulbs, out of City Hall and replaced them, we could have saved $1 billion just in cash. Forget about the greenhouse, forget about whatever, just save the taxpayers some money. I only converted all my fixtures over to this just to save money, just pure and simple.
Yeah. Now, is it the fact that they're late that's bothering you? I mean, because they are getting around to it. I know I'm looking at this condominium, and they were kept telling me about how green everything is. This is green, and that's green. I don't even know exactly what that means, but turns out you get a huge tax break, and they pass that on to us.
Right.
Yes.
Because the government gave them a break for using all these green materials.
Here's why I can't stand our government and everyone that could fall under the heading of the man. I have been and was a builder for many, many years, and there are codes that would make your head explode. You have no idea how many rules there are. Now, whenever somebody says, well, how about we just make a government mandate that every new building has to have compact fluorescence, and somebody raises their hand and goes, oh, so you think the government should be in charge? You can't do anything without asking the government, and, by the way, paying the government. If you want to put an addition on your house, you better go down to City Hall and you better bring your checkbook, and then you better bring some plans, and then a guy looks at it, and a guy tells you a bunch of stuff you don't need, and you go, I don't need that, and he goes, oh yes you do, I'm the man, and that's what you have to do.
Right.
I've had them tell me things. I had a house that had 75 stairs before you got to the front door, and they said your bathroom access needs to be 32 inches or wider. And I said, that's for handicap access, because you need 32 inches to get a wheelchair through a door. I said, how are you going to get a wheelchair up 75 stairs to this house? And he said, I don't care. That's what you do. That is the man telling you what you can do on your house, in your own property. There's nothing but rules when it comes to building.
I hate handicapped people. They'll never be allowed in the
girl
house.
I believe I did mention that. And they said, I don't care. And then when I was leaving, he said, oh, not so fast. How about giving me $388.26, because you have to pay them for all the permits and all the plan checks and all the other things. The man has been telling his constituency what to do with his house in new construction for the last 80 years.
Right.
And there's more and more paperwork you have to go through with each passing year. And don't even get me started if you want to do it in a place like Malibu or a place like West LA. Now, why not tack on a couple of more rules? because that's all you have, that would save the planet and save the homeowner. By the way, at least this is one that's going to save me money.
Right.
Sure, I might have to pay a little extra for the dual glazed glass or the extra insulation or the compact fluorescent. At least I pay a little extra up front, but it's going to save. It's going to pay for itself after 10 years in energy savings. Nope. Not going to get involved with that one.
All I want is for a handicapped person to be able to poop at your house.
That's right. And if you build anything, because we're an earthquake country, it must be built like Hitler's bunker.
Right.
Other than that, we don't care. Why isn't the man getting involved with the one place the man should get involved in? Nope. We'll tell you everything you can do with your house except for this part.
Right. Well, I think a lot of it is the super liberal people that say the government will not be telling me how to light my own home.
But the super liberal people want
are the people that want the green.
Al Gore to come in and save us all. I'm just saying, we've been aware of this for 20 years. I don't know when the first compact fluorescent whatever bulb, but I can guarantee you Home Depot's had them for 15 years. Why are we hearing about it now? Why aren't people made aware of it? And what's the man doing about it? Thank you, T.
Well, all I know is that Cameron Diaz has really enlightened me.
I feel bad.
Very thankful.
I worry about my children, but because I'm a 47-year-old chain smoker, I'll never meet my grandchildren, so they can just cook in the sun. I don't really mind. So I'm not planning on doing anything about any of this.
That's beautiful. Well, I'm going to get to my drunk driving story later.
Mm.
And also, Adam, I don't know if you know that you made TMZ.
You did indeed.
Yeah, I heard about
that.
Yeah,
I have that.
Well, I'll tell you what.
We can play it later.
Why don't, let's see, what do we want to do? Want to do nerd walking? Ray and Ozzy got themselves a review. Hey, Bald Brian.
Yeah.
You went out and did the nerd walking.
Yeah.
How'd that go?
I think it went very well. We'll see how the questions turned out.
This is funny. Like our gay walking.
Yeah.
I
went to the preview screening of Transformers, 8 o'clock, and 8 o'clock of the first screening in the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
And you're asked nerds nerd questions that nerds would probably not know.
Uh-huh.
And then you guys will gamble just
we'll
like
gamble on it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what then, T. Why don't we do that next?
Yeah.
You
push
the TMZ and the drunk driving DUI. Was that the story you're going to do?
Yeah. We'll do it
in
the 9
o'clock.
They're
not the same story, are they?
Two different stories.
Two different stories. All right. We'll do that in the 9 o'clock news. Bald Brian's nerd walking next on the Adam Carolla Show.
If gay people know the things that straight people know. This time around, we sent sound effects guy and super nerd Brian out to the opening of Transformers to find out if nerds know what the rest of us know. It's Nerd Walking on the Adam Carolla Show.
Bald Brian and Mike and I went out to see Transformers over the holiday.
That surprises me, you know.
Why?
A, that you would see the Transformers. It doesn't seem like your kind of thing.
Yeah.
You would go with
I like
Bald
action.
Brian.
Love Bald Brian.
Loose
warm on Mike. And thought, well, that's good enough to go see Transformers. And none of my smart friends wanted to go with me. So I decided to go see it with them. Now, I had this weird situation, which, as I mentioned in the 6 o'clock hour, I bought an extra ticket for a friend who couldn't make it. So I essentially just ate the ticket. I guess I could have returned it. I'm not exactly sure how it works, but I thought, it's nice to have a little elbow room, have an empty seat next to you. The last time that happened to me, somebody sat in that seat, and I didn't have the balls to tell them to move because it felt like an a-hole. I would have liked to have said, oh, my wife's in the concession line. She's going to be here in 10 minutes. Yeah. Could you please clear out of her seat?
But her name's Rufus.
When nobody ever showed up, then forget it. I would have been embarrassed to have this person sit there in the theater and see that no one sat in the seat I told them to clear out of. This time, I decided to position that empty seat in between me and one of the guys, but I didn't know I'd be sitting at the end.
Right.
So the way it ended up is I was sitting alone at the end with the space in between us, and I realized I don't like that. I like to sit next to my buddy, so at a certain point I can go, that's so fake.
Yeah.
It's no fun if you can't complain to anybody.
Or she's hot.
Right.
Or whatever.
It's a communal experience, and you're out there on your own.
Right. So I was
unless you're out with your friend Ray, who just screams from across the theater, she's hot! I do her!
I want to know how many times Bald Brian has seen Transformers as of today.
Well, of course, I thought the moment it came out, 8 o'clock, with my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw it with Adam and Mike. That was the second time. And then I went to see it again later that same day.
Mm. We had to put a drip tray under him. He was so aroused.
I've seen it 3 times, and I'm going to see it again tonight.
2 a day.
Yeah.
Again tonight.
I don't know, but...
Going again tonight.
With your girlfriend.
If you want to consider my male
Mom,
roommate, my girlfriend,
whatever.
During the any part of this movie, do you... transform, if you know what I'm saying.
The second time I saw it, because my glasses were covered with my own. Well, I had to see it a second time because I was so excited after the first.
Yeah. Wow. So fourth time tonight. All right. Okay. And it didn't disappoint. It was a great action movie. I'll tell you any small quibbles I have with it when Ozzy and Ray do the review later on. But that's not what this is about. This is a little something called Nerd Walking.
Nerd Walking. Nerd. Bri wants to know if you've heard that he's a gay balding nerd. You are all virgins. It's time for Nerd Walking, because you are nerds.
All right, we gamble on what nerds know and, more importantly, don't know. You went out to the premiere. You brought the microphone.
Yep. First showing, guys in the theater.
All right, by the way, I left my wallet at home today. My credit card.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Okay,
all right. And these are super nerdy guys because they've been waiting in line to catch it the day it came out.
Waiting in the theater, sitting in seats for many hours.
Oh, really?
Yes.
All right. Let's. Now you said you were in San Francisco,
Bay Area. Yeah, San Francisco.
And you're actually inside the theater at this point doing
the
interview.
Yeah, so the sound quality should be pretty good.
All right. Let's have our first question.
Finish this phrase. Are you ready for some?
I'm going to use Danny as a little bit of a gauge here, although I don't know how close he wants to play his cards to his bedazzled vest. Do you know the end of this phrase?
You know, it took me a second because I thought I was right the first time. I thought it was, are you ready for some action?
Mm-hmm.
It was I think, wrestling or NASCAR, but it is, are you ready for some football?
Mm-hmm.
Now, would you have known this, Mike?
Am I right?
I wrote the question, and then when we were cutting it earlier, I forgot.
But I'm right. It's ready. Are you ready for some football? Is that it?
Yes.
Okay.
T, what'd he say?
So I say, wait. I say he will not know.
You say no, no, no.
I agree. No, no.
It's tough because it's one of these things where it's ubiquitous. It's around. You know, we've made fun.
Yeah.
You know, President Bush has said it, and it's been made fun of on Saturday Night Live and stuff. On the other hand, when you shove a mic in someone's face, they know 50% less than what they know when you move the mic away. And there is that freeze factor. I'm going to say he does know. So you two say doesn't know. I'm going to say does know.
If I knew, I should have been on that guy. No.
Let's have our answer.
Finish this phrase. Are you ready for some
action?
Damn it.
That's what you thought he'd say.
The jury.
Oh, you nerds, you sicken me.
Sometimes when I'm stupid, I'm a genius.
Find that kid and give him a biggest wedgie of his life, even though he's probably currently sporting a wedgie. Do you nerds walk around with wedgies?
Just to save us bullies time?
Yeah, you pre-wedge yourself before you leave the house?
He was a large man, so he may have been walking around with a perma wedgie.
Perma wedge. All right.
Do you know how many times we have tried to give a guy a wedgie and then hang him up by his underwear in cartoons, and it doesn't really work?
And so, is this question to the same nerd?
Or is the next question.
New nerd. Okay.
New nerd.
There's a wide variety of nerds in the theater.
All right. So, O for one, I should say. You guys are one for one. Let's keep moving.
What's a planer?
Ooh. Gosh. I mean, I know.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the same thing as a plane?
Oh, no.
Well, no, a planer would be called a plane.
Yeah. Okay. So
if that's what you're talking about.
You mean airplane. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Planes are reasonable.
Planes?
Like, we are retarded.
All right.
So you know.
I do know, but this guy will... Wait. He won't know.
Will we accept tool? You know, something
I
general?
I hope you will.
I think we'll accept tool, yes.
It's been a good few weeks.
Yeah. Very open door tool policy for Teresa.
The toolbox is open.
Yeah, nothing rusting in that shit. Tell you that right now.
Very good time.
All right, so T, what are you going with?
I'm going to say, it's hard. He knows.
He going with nose. Danny?
I'm going with he does not know.
And I'm going with he does know. Let's have our answer.
What's a planer?
A woodworking tool?
Yes.
Yes.
A woodworking tool.
You know, T, I feel like you've lost a little bit of ground with gays.
I know.
But you're making up for it. Nerds,
nerds,
right?
Nerds are my new...
Danny and I, one for two. You two for two. Let's push ahead.
What is Pete Carroll famous for?
No.
I'm going to say doesn't know.
Now, this is the coach for the USC football team, Pete Carroll.
Unless these nerds went to USC, they don't know Pete Carroll.
All right, so you
Bay
go-
Area, keep in mind.
Bay Area. Bay Area, you know, their team is the Cal Bears, probably going to be a big rival for USC.
That's right, it is a rival.
And these are college. I mean, nerds are
Stanford country.
Nerds and Stanford.
The Cardinal.
Yeah. And the nerds are educated.
Yeah. Is it too late to go back on it?
Go whatever direction you want.
All right. They know Pete Carroll.
They know Pete Carroll. See, here's the wild card with the nerds. They're smart.
They're
wily.
They're wily.
Not like the lazy gays.
Or the coyote.
Yes. They're smart, so it's the kind of thing where even if they don't care about football and don't know anything about football and may not even like football, they have huge brains that collect all sorts of information and they can recall it.
Yeah, then again, Brian was trying to lead me perhaps towards the wrong answer. No, you wouldn't do that to me?
All okay, right, so knows. You're saying...
That doesn't know.
I'm saying doesn't. This is a chance for Danny and I to get back into this game.
What is Pete Carroll famous for?
No idea.
Yes!
Thank you.
Yes!
You evil, evil, evil nerd.
So now, we're all tied up now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Everyone's got the...
I have two.
Everyone's two on the plus side with one strike against them. All right, let's go on to the next nerd walking question.
Who were the hosts of The Man Show?
Oh. Wow. Ooh. Asking nerds about the hosts... The Man Show.
Don't know.
Don't know.
Maybe know one.
Will they accept any other answer besides Jimmy Kimmel and yours truly or his truly?
Oh, yeah, there were other hosts.
No, but I mean, we'll just go with those two.
No, we'll accept.
We
no,
should
technically,
accept,
we would accept
Rogan and
Doug Stanhope, yeah. A better show for my money.
But they have to
but they got to get Carolla and Kimmel.
No,
we're accepting any of the
four. We're accepting any of the hosts.
But we accept two of the four, not one.
Look, you could say Rogan and Carolla, any combination.
Any two.
Right,
four
but
guys.
It's gotta be any two.
Yeah.
You can't name one and still win. You can't say Carolla.
Well, no, because we said hosts.
Yeah. All right. Poor old
Well, nerds do love Comedy Central.
And where else are they going to see boobs on trampolines and stuff? But I'm going, does not know.
So, we got... He doesn't know.
That
doesn't
guy know. With the eyebrow, that goofy guy, that guy, that other guy.
No, this
I
is
don't
hard.
Know.
This
you
hard.
Know, Jimmy's on network television every night. There may be a Jimmy Kimmel.
Yes.
Will we accept that? I
no.
think we'll have no. No, we'll have
say
to accept
yes?
that.
Okay.
If they said Adam Carolla and Jimmy Kimmel, we'd have
that'd
to
be,
accept
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that'd be close.
Okay. I'm going to pompously say yes, but mainly just because I'm going to see if I can win. I'm playing to win. I'm not
That's
playing.
Good.
I'm not playing for a tie.
All
right. So I go yes. You two.
No.
Go with no. Thank you. And here, here we go.
Who were the hosts of The Man Show?
It's that guy who did radio show and he has a beef with Carlos Mencia. Joe Reagan or something.
Oh, is that guy with the
okay,
what?
First of all, got the name wrong.
Excuse me. Excuse me. That's the second time in a row that's happened. Are you ready for some action? And it's the guy with the Whoosits.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm a nerd mind reader.
That's the most insulting possible scenario answer for me.
Could
have been more insulting.
It was the different crew that sucked.
Yeah. I mean, it's a, you know, the guy with the unibrow and the tiny wiener. And so it couldn't have been a worse answer for you.
No, because not knowing was, you know, fairly insulting. And then not knowing, except for you only know the other guy who hosted the show for one
feel
season.
Feel free to make any call you want and say who
but you have a radio show or something.
Something, a radio show or something?
Well, must have been talking about me. Well, then Let me hear that again. Let me hear that again. This is
he got you confused with.
Who were the hosts of the Man Show?
It's that guy who did Radio Show, and he has a beef with Carlos Mencia. It's Joe Rogan or something.
Okay, he's combined you and Joe Rogan.
Are you sure this was a nerd or a homeless guy, Brian? That guy who did Radio Show? Come on, that's no nerd. That's not the voice of a nerd. That's like a migrant field worker you're speaking to, not a nerd.
I consider myself a nerd.
Meanwhile, Brian is really enunciating on his part. Yes. I think he's doing a nice job.
Mm. Let me hear that answer one more time.
Who were the hosts of the Man Show?
It's that guy who did Radio Show, and he has a beef with Carlos Mencia. It's Joe Rogan or something.
That guy who did Radio Show, Joe Rogan.
Joe Rogan. Oh, nothing was right.
To be knocked off the leaderboard.
For that.
I feel like I was punched in the stomach, and then someone pulled my shirt up over my head and kneed me in the groin.
That was a wedgie to your soul.
Jesus Christ.
That's right.
All right, let's keep pushing on. So now you guys are ahead. I'm 2-2. You're 3-1.
Yeah.
All right.
You know, it's kind of interesting. It's not easy to just take the insult of his life. You may have to pay for it.
Yeah, I can almost smell that 20.
Here we go.
That's that other guy's breath.
Wouldn't that be nice if it just smelled like cash?
Plus, look, I don't want to be stereotypical, but you guys have those huge noses and you smell cash. All you smell is cash. I mean, that's why you have the big noses, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's not offensive in any way.
No, sometimes what I do is I take 100 and I pierce one of my horns with it, and that's how I carry it around.
I gotta say, look, that's the way nature works. There's certain animals that are just laid, you know, like badgers have big claws because they tunnel, because they dig, you know what I mean? Right. Jews have a huge nose because they smell cash.
Right.
Okay, people, I didn't make this stuff up. That's just Darwin doing his thing.
And I'm just going to have to say, because I was born Roman Catholic, but on the other hand, I have had thousands of dollars in rolled up 20s up my nose.
Yes. Yeah. You're like an honorary Jew.
And actually gone. So, I mean, I really have the fragrance.
T, you know how some people, it said they have a green thumb?
Right.
Green nose.
Right.
The Jews have a green nose. It's they smell so cash. True. That's all it means.
That's why my dad lives in a trailer park.
Baby's got a sinus condition. He's a Jew with a deviated septum.
It's blocked up.
Maybe got a roll of nickels stuffed in there early in his career.
I do use my tail. It helps me scurry towards the money faster.
Yeah. All right. Well, you're getting very close to 20 of my dollars. Let's go
and
with
Danny.
The last question here.
Who did Muhammad Ali fight in the Thrilla in Manila?
Oh, this is tough because nerds love boxing, and that was in that great documentary, When We Were Kings.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't the Rumble in the Jungle?
Was that the Rumble? That was, thank you. That was the Rumble in the Jungle.
Yeah, it's even I who love boxing get confused between the Jungle and the
One
Thrilla.
Foreman was the Jungle, right?
Foreman was the Jungle.
Who was the Thrilla?
Joe Frazier.
Oh, he's not going to know.
It's confusing. You go not know, Danny.
Well, I know that when I fought Donny Osmond, they called it the Thriller in Vanilla. But I'm going to go with not know.
You are smart. I'm going to go with the very low percentage. Does know, only because it's my only chance to get back to even. Two no-nos, one does know, one Jew knows. Let's hear what the answer is.
Who did Muhammad Ali fight in the Thrilla in Manila?
Rocky Balboa.
No, you know!
Very nice, thank you.
What the hell's wrong? Mike, get out of here. You make me sick. Take your nerd ass, your nerd faux denim jeans, and just haul it to that nerd bunker you stay in and
we
look
got a
at
tie.
The computer in. We have a tie.
Yeah, it's four.
Danny
tie,
and T tying.
And
all right, so we have a two-way tiebreaker.
Yes. I hate tiebreakers.
Let's decide who's going first in advance. Well, let's just go ladies first. T?
Oh, thanks.
You answer first. Danny, you pretty much just have to take
the
opposite.
With the other answer,
whatever it is. But we've done this a couple times, and it's worked both ways,
yeah.
As far as I can tell.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Let's have T answer this question.
True or false, you still live with your parents?
Oh, man, I can't see the nerds.
Coin
I'm flying
toss.
Blind here. Were they young?
No,
right.
Kicking any tires.
I'm going to say no. They don't live with their parents.
So you go with no by default. Danny goes yes. Let's see who wins the $60.
True or false, you still live with your parents?
False.
That means you win.
Wait a second.
What happened? Who won? True or false?
I did.
All right, T won.
Thank you.
You know we're done because you hear the splashy ending.
Nerd walking. Nerd.
Nerds are my new gays. I know how they operate.
Nice job, baby doll. Here's the 20.
Thank you.
I owe you 20.
Thank you.
All right. And what do you buy with that? Like rye bread thinly cut or the yarmulkes or what do you do with that?
Stack of yarmulkes and some dreidels to prepare the holidays upcoming in December.
I'm not trying to be insulting. I want to learn. I want to know. That's all.
I'm
trying to diversify.
Oh, I'm still not over the Joe Rogaine as the answer to who hosted the Man Show.
Joe Rogaine.
Who did Muhammad Ali?
Please, let me hear that one again. Should we get that nerd's
name? Who were the
name?
Hosts of the Man Show?
It's that guy who did Radio Show and he has a beef with Carlos Mencia. It's Joe Reagan or something.
That is not the voice of a nerd.
He was camped out in the back row.
He's homeless.
He was sleeping in the theater. He had a Decepticons t-shirt.
He was at the same place when Georgia Rules was playing there 9 weeks earlier. He's crashing out. That was not a nerd.
He was there for the Simpsons movie in 2 months.
You know how sometimes you have to see a movie twice or hear a song 3 or 4 times till you really know what it's about? Every time I hear it, it gets a little worse for you.
More painful.
Now it's Joe Rogaine.
Yes.
And not only that.
That guy who did Radio Show and he has a beef with Carlos Mencia.
He knows Joe who Reagan. The guy's mad at. He's mad at Mencia. He knows this guy's friends.
He knows
friends.
Joe Rogan's career pretty well.
And his friends and whose parties he's invited to.
I'm sick of everyone now. All right, we need to take ourselves a break.
Sorry, but nobody apparently cares if you're sick of us.
We out $20 and my dignity.
I'm going to use this money to buy the international media and control it.
We will take ourselves a quick break. When we come back, it is Monday. It therefore is time for Music Monday. We have a theme which I'm not sure what inspired this theme, but I liked it immediately, which is songs that are stuck in your head. Could be jingles, could be popular songs, could be songs you like.
Yeah,
but can't get them out of your head.
Right.
Most often songs you don't like, or maybe you just don't like them because they're stuck inside your skull. Either way, the songs that are on permanent rotation inside of all our brains, good and bad, next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. It's another Music Monday, and we're talking about songs that get stuck in your head and played over and over and over again. Music Monday brought to you by Sounds of Hornitos Tequila. Hornitos Tequila reminds you to drink smart. Music Monday on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, songs that got stuck in your head and won't go away. I'll get started immediately with my first song, working 5 down to number 1, starting with this little ditty.
I had this one all of Idol.
Yeah, American Idol got it stuck in there. And then there's this part where I remember where I was. I was walking my dog Molly and this stupid song was stuck in my head, and I started breaking it down, and then I started breaking down a song I don't like. There's nothing worse than when you're exploring some wreck you don't ever want to see, and you're going, had a bad day, camera don't lie.
Hmm.
What camera? They talking about a news anchor?
Yeah.
Who's the camera? What do you mean the camera don't lie? The camera? Oh, it's a metaphor for your eyeballs? And then you just start screaming, get out of my head. And it isn't a bad song. I mean, I don't hate it that much. It just won't. I just can't get it out of my head. And around Idol, it just never leaves.
So that's weird, though. They get stuck in your mind because they mean something to you.
Sometimes.
And you have to figure out what it is that they mean.
Yeah.
Sometimes. And then other times, I just annoy myself. Once I announce, there's this weird one. weird little part of the human mind. I'm not sure why we evolved this way or what God had in mind, but there is that little part of your brain that torments yourself.
Yeah.
For some, it's half their brain. For others, it's just a little chickpea-sized part that is somewhere underneath the reptilian lobe. But it's there, man. And it's that little part that says, wow, I got a toothache. And you end up flicking that tooth with your tongue just to feel like you're alive. I don't know what it is about having something stuck in your head, a bad image, a bad thought, someone said something bad about you, or even a bad song that has to have it on repeat and replay in your head constantly. But this song is one of mine. The other one, but I like this song because we're doing good and bad.
Yeah, you don't have to not like them. Yeah.
This is another one that's constantly in my head.
We're going on a trip in our favorite rocket ship. Zooming through.
Kids love this show.
Kids' songs are really earworms.
Well, because they're just repetitive.
They're designed to be earworms.
This one has a full symphonic display behind it, though. little Sonny loves the rocket ship.
So your kiddies listen to this?
Yeah, well, they immediately stop destroying whatever it is they're trying to destroy and turn toward the TV set and focus immediately on Little Einstein. And the beauty of all these kids shows that are educational kids shows is I'm a product of the L.A. Unified School District, so I've never heard of half this crap either. Right. I know it's geared toward toddlers.
Right.
But I'm learning just as much as my kids are.
Absolutely.
When I hear them talking about classical music or painters or geography or anything that was not covered because I took 150 goddamn home ec classes and learned how to make Pillsbury popovers because, after all, you have to prioritize. Absolutely. When you're dealing with 14-year-olds.
You'll know your kids are getting older when they start making up filthy words to that song.
Oh, can't wait. It.
Yep. Barney is a dinosaur. He's got a big old herpes sore. Yeah, that's what happens. It's first thing of it, and then it's filthy lyrics.
Well, we had the Beverly Hillbillies.
Yep. See, that's what's going to happen.
Let me tell you a story about a man named Chad. Took his Aunt Ellie and threw her on the bed.
Yeah. I love you. You love pee.
All right, Little Einstein. Can't help it. I love that show, and I love the theme song, too.
Oh, this is now going to be stuck in my head all day. I go, you pee.
This is going to be the worst earworm day.
My third one is, we just heard the faux version of it, but the real version of it.
Gay walking.
Gay. Oh, I get this every time we do this.
Sad that you think this is the real version of what we just heard. No, I'm talking about Spandau. No, it's not true.
Gold.
It's Spandau Ballet. It's the world's gayest song, but it gets stuck in my head.
Okay.
Now, what makes this gay? Is it the synthetic sound of it?
I think it's the part where the guy repeats gold.
Gold!
That's what makes it gay. The two guys in the background wearing the tight, shiny pants who yell gold for a second time.
What if this band was called Spandau Football? Would it seem as gay?
This part makes it gay, too, this part here.
The drum machine? It's a machine?
Oh, did you hear that?
Yeah.
He even has the Sugarland S in his singing.
Synsonic drums, that sort of Latin flavor. How about when the guy drags the pencil on the fish? That did it.
Oh, I actually thought you had a pencil on a fish.
Here's what's going gay.
Right here?
Going?
Well, it's by now. Here's where it goes full gay. And believe in your soul, too.
Yeah.
All right. Stuck in the head. What are you going to do?
So is the name of that band. The name of the band gives me issues.
Yes.
You're indestructible.
Jaywalking.
He's totally your Rain Man.
Love is like a hard prison wall.
Yeah, that's rough trade.
Well, isn't Spandau Prison where that Nazi guy killed himself? He was the only inmate in Spandau Prison.
I can't remember where himself, they got this.
And I think they called it doing the Spandau Ballet.
Spandau was a small town that they kept the German war criminals. When they tried the German war criminals, I think they kept them in Spandau.
And drove them to Nuremberg?
Something like that, or the Nuremberg trials were near Spandau. It was its name of a town, I think, and maybe there was a castle or something.
I believe there's a prison in it.
It's a fortress.
Yeah. And a guy hung himself.
In the city of Spandau.
Yeah, and they called that the Spandau. When you kick your feet, they called that the Spandau Ballet.
Well, see, I was learning how to make Pillsbury popovers in my home ec class, so we didn't cover any of this stuff.
I was learning how to win at Trivial Pursuits and not be able to fix anything.
Spandau Ballet. So one of the German prisoners or one of the German people that were going to be tried for war crimes went and hung himself in Spandau. All right. Now, T.
That's a fun little morning fact.
Yes. Let's see. What do you have? You have top two or top three?
I've got three.
You have three? Good. I have three left, too, and so does Danny Bonaducci. We will get to all our top songs, songs that are stuck in your head. We'll hear from you, too. Oh, I see a few on the board already. Yeah, for good or for bad, they usually turn bad, but yeah. I like the little Einstein's theme, and it makes me think of my kids. We'll take a quick break. Be right back with the rest of Music Monday next.
More Music Monday on the Adam Carolla Show. Songs that get stuck in your head. Brought to you by Sounds of Hornitos Tequila. Alerting you to prepare for this year's live all-summer Battle of the Bands. Hornitos Tequila reminds you to drink smart. Now back to Music Monday on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, we got a full bank of calls. Calls you can't get out of your head. Robert? What is your contribution to this list?
I just wanted to say... UB40's Red Red Wine.
Yeah. I don't make a lot of friends when I explain that I don't really get reggae. I think it's just sort of lazy music and it all sounds about the same. And everyone goes, yeah, but how about when you're on some Caribbean island and you're stoned out of your mind and there's hot chicks walking around in sarongs? Look, Wagner sounds good when there's a bunch of hot chicks walking around sarongs and I'm stoned off my ass. It's fine, but you shouldn't be able to do that with music. Like, imagine you're getting oral sex on Hugh Hefner's bed with the hottest chick you went to high school with. Yeah, of course everything sounds good. Yeah, but imagine you're just stuck in traffic and you have to listen to this crappy reggae.
No, if you're getting to do all your fantasies at once, that I'm Your Barbie Girl song rocks.
Right.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%.
Push the little daisies and make them come up sounds great when you're getting oral. Reggae reminds you of when you're having a good time, but it's lazy music, and I don't like it. And then to do the reggae version of any song is just a bigger cop-out, because not only are you just doing reggae, and anyone who does reggae is ripping off a reggae song, essentially, but now you're ripping off a Neil Diamond song with reggae, although I do kind of like this song.
I love the Neil Diamond version of the song.
By the way,
this is awful.
Just throwing a little thing. Neil Diamond also got me a sexual favor yesterday.
How?
He wrote a monkey song and I knew it. And the girl asked, if you know who wrote this song, I'll give you another sexual favor. I went, Neil Diamond.
I'm a believer.
And she is now.
Then I saw her. That is a Neil Diamond?
Yeah, it's Neil Diamond.
Hey, Robert.
Yeah.
The part where I really go nuts with this song is at the end. When they just talk their way through it. Red, red, run.
I don't think they ever talk.
Fine. And he's just like, at the end, he runs out of words. He's like,
like, never talking a song.
Look, once you get it to minute six of the song and you're out of stuff to say, go ahead and stop the tape.
Stop singing, yeah.
Yeah, stop singing. All right, Robert, good contribution. Yeah. Let's see. Line five. Let's go to line five. This one is driving me nuts, too. Anton?
Yes, sir.
What do you got for me?
I got Gnarls Barkley, Crazy.
Mm.
I remember. Yeah. great song, but great there's song. About 3 weeks where this was in my head constantly.
Yeah. I'm not hearing it as much as I was a year ago, so it's kind of cleared out of my skull, but yeah.
Just ought to put it back.
Mm-hmm.
Adam, you're the reason I still do stand-up.
Thank you.
Are you a comedian?
Yes, I am.
Now, the last guy asked this, yelled at me like I should have known exactly who he was.
Anton.
Do you do it for a living? Is that your full job, full-time job?
That is my full-time job because I don't have a regular job.
Mm-hmm. And why do I inspire you?
Because it you didn't, well, not only did you not give up, but you didn't hold out for your dream. You got a mainstream job or a part-time job, well, a full-time job, but until you got along.
See, if it weren't for that Joe Rogan guy, I'd have quit long, long ago.
But Anton, you said that inspired you, and yet you don't have a day job.
Yes, well, I don't have a day job because I lost my full-time job and just don't have the desire to work.
But I see. You don't feel like working.
And for the last couple of years, I've been a
That is one
worker.
Of the seven habits of highly effective people. I know that.
Not feeling like working.
Quit a job, don't get another one, decide you don't feel like working.
Hey, Anton, though, when you are trying to get that unemployment check from the man, keep that one under your hat, the part where you don't feel like working anymore.
Why you don't have a new job, you can check off the box, don't feel like it.
My name's Anton Robinson. I don't have any problem getting unemployment or welfare.
All right, brother.
Anton, do you have like an opener that you use when you do comedy?
You know what? For the first 2 minutes, I try to do improv just to keep my skills sharp. I like to consider myself a factory, not a warehouse.
Smart.
Oh.
So here's, I like that.
It's 160 seconds a second.
So here's how it basically works. And they go, and now welcome to stage the comedy stylings of Anton Robinson. Hey, man, what's up? How y'all feeling? Looking good. Hey, could do a little improv for you. Just give me an occupation. Just shout out an occupation.
Doctor. You're a doctor.
All right. I'm a doctor. Now, give me a location.
Wyoming.
Your mom's ass. Why don't you be funny, jackass? I paid $8 to get into this club.
I noticed, though, that the crowd work often consists of looking at people in the audience and saying who they look like. Hey, the Beach Boys. Hey, it's Winona Ryder.
And that often works, actually.
It always works.
They look even close. Yeah. And especially if they're funny-looking people in the first place. Like, hey, I'd like to thank Jason Alexander for showing up. And you look at a guy, all he's got to be is a little bald, maybe wear glasses, and everybody's cracking up.
Well, Anton, right. keep fighting the good fight and keep the dream alive, brother.
No problem. And for the record, my improv is usually somewhat like Mr. Bonaducci's in that I try to riff and do callbacks on earlier comedians.
Well, he's just too lazy to write jokes. That's all.
Exactly. You get out there and talk about when you were really high on the Partridge Family. And does that act work for you? Because it sucks for me. That's it. Crap again, Bonaducci.
All right. Let's see.
You could do Richard Jenny's act.
Let's wield it to him.
Well, I weaved it into Bill Hicks's interview. And I
let's hear what T has to offer.
Oh, okay.
Always interested in finding out what motivates you, baby doll.
This speaks for itself.
A lonely bull?
No. You'll soon get it.
Is it any Mexican music?
This is the Mexican hat dance.
Mm-hmm.
And it will get in your head. You can't get it out.
I'm with you in a way because I think the Frito Bandito song was stuck in my head for 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's close enough.
Yeah, it's the same song.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was this close to throwing some ranchero song or something in there, but then I realized it's not stuck in my head. It's just ubiquitous. It's coming from every job site in Southern California, every job, every house I've ever worked on. When I show up on the job site, this is what's blaring. And I live up in the hills where I, for some reason, get no radio reception. I cannot hear this station, Southern California, KLSX station, on my radio. And I can't get many other stations, but the Spanish stuff comes through clear as a goddamn bell.
Nice.
Yes, it's like I'm being punished. All right. And the music is horrible, by the way. It's not a cultural thing. It's not, I don't get it. No. Right. No, because I think we can all see that there's world music that we all enjoy.
Right. Right.
There's all music from all different lands.
But you have a right not to like some of it.
Not from Mexico. That music blows ass.
See,
and it's specifically made for stupid people. That's what stupid people like to listen to. That's what that music is for.
I'm going with Chinese
opera. It's not for smart people. It makes you dumber by the second. Thank you. And by the way, you know when they do that thing where they go, hey, it turns out that studies have found out, recent studies, that listening to classical music can raise your IQ. Well, if music can make you smarter, then is there no music that can make you dumber?
I'm sure that makes perfect sense.
That is the inverse corollary of a truth. Therefore, it must also be true.
So if your kid is too smart from listening to classical music for too long, what she said. You've been listening to classical music, haven't you, little two girl? Yes, you have.
It makes you smarter.
Start listening to Three Dog Night like me and Corolla.
That's right. We'll dumb you down. All right. So the Mexican hat dance.
That's
Danny,
rough.
What do you got?
I ain't got the Mexican hat dance. I'll tell you that right now. I don't think anybody can go wrong with this one. I think you will all agree. Shall we, Brian?
Brought up all the cooking, nerdy, bought it all the time, sister.
You don't even get to the hook's coming, but it's already in my head.
But this is from 1974.
Yeah.
How can it still be in that brain of yours?
Do you know how hard it has to work
to go back to 1974?
Because going back to 4 o'clock yesterday, I've forgotten almost everything. And this song still bugs me.
Yeah, I think they used it in a 7-Up commercial for some reason. Maybe just the lime part, but I'm not sure where the coconut comes in.
They put the lime in the coconut and they drank it all up. This song doesn't annoy anybody else but me.
No, I'm horribly annoyed by it.
Okay, good. I feel better.
Yes. This was a good choice.
And now I'm sorry. I was just lost trying to figure out why 7-Up was using it. I know the lime part. But then the coconut's confusing, isn't it?
Right. And by the way, you know, now that I think about it, because when you first put it to me, why would this song still bother you in from 1974? I realized I actually have a reason and thought of it for a reason. We also own the oldie station, and I hear it every time I go to the bathroom. I've heard this song recently.
You have?
Yes.
Good times.
That's what made me think of it.
T.
Yes.
What do you got?
Okay, this is a good song, but the hook just, it worms its way into your brain, and you can't get rid of it.
All right. Let's hear that. Yes. Yep.
Issues. You can't hear us. You can't understand anything he's saying except the chorus. Then you feel like you have to sing the chorus.
Yeah. Back.
Back. Loser.
Yep. And that's I'm a loser, baby. Yep. That's the only part anybody knows.
So you have to sing that.
Do we have line 8, by the way, Brian? This is it's a song that gets stuck in my head, and I still hear it. I heard it this morning on the way in to the radio station. Robert?
Yeah?
What do you got for us?
I Shot the Sheriff.
Yes.
I shot the sheriff, but I did not
shoot. You know, it's very funny.
It's a crappy song.
And Bob Marley covers it.
I think Bob Marley originally did it.
Was it Eric Clapton?
And then Clapton covered it.
But with your reggae versus rock and roll, have this come up.
Words don't even rhyme. This song just drives
me. Doesn't make sense.
I can't think of a worse song that's got played more.
Yes.
This song is a horrible, horrible song, and it's been played 300 million times since 1977.
He says that he shot the sheriff but not the deputy, but later doesn't he claim that he did shoot the deputy but he had to?
I don't. I think this guy's lying to us. I have a gun in my mouth at that point in the song. They both.
Self-defense.
He's just talking his way through it. It's not like anything rhymes with anything. I'm gonna vomit. Thank you, Robert.
Right,
yes.
Next category for next year: songs that make you vomit.
T.
Yes.
What do you got?
This is, I think, of all the television theme songs.
Mm-hmm.
This one will really stick.
Mm-hmm.
Brian's finding it.
It was Danny's turn. Oh, it was?
Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy
See, not that there are any bad choices, but I was doing. You said theme song from TV. I thought Friends.
Oh, that's a good one too.
Yeah, except for I clap along to it.
Yeah, that's what makes it a problem.
Oh, Danny, now did I go out of order here, or did I shot the sheriff just jump in? But what's your next one?
I think we all know. And I'm feeling pretty confident in all these today.
Mm-hmm. Right.
This is Rock and Roll Part Two.
Gary Glitter.
Because not only does the song get stuck in your mind, then you have him being all glittered up and being dragged out of Cambodia. Always a good memory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's been brought up on pedophilia charges.
Yeah, I think they stopped playing this at arenas and stuff.
Yeah, they did. No, he got brought up on pedophilia charges in England and then ran to Cambodia. I ran to Thailand. Thailand, which will do anything for a dollar, said, get out of my country. So he went to Cambodia, where you can eat their children for a dollar. And they threw him out of Cambodia. You got to work to get thrown out of Cambodia.
I know. This is the new phase. This is the new theme song they play at the stadiums.
All the Chicago Bulls games.
All right. Let me give my next one, and we'll come back with all our number one songs. This is one that's been stuck in my head for now 20 years, everybody. The idea that if somebody asked me how to get to Pete Alvis Dodge, I would immediately shout out Long Beach Freeway, Firestone Exit, Southgate. Makes it the most effective and annoying advertising campaign ever. But I must have heard this song 200 million times somewhere between 1982 and 1987. And even though I don't think I've heard it for 20 years, it's stuck.
This yours is better because at least you know how to get there. Because keys on Van Nuys. Keys on Van Nuys. So I know that you can go buy a car at Keys in Van Nuys.
Right.
But they don't give you the directions.
That's
what's
smart. Commercials are sticky like that baby back ribs.
I want my baby. All right. We need to take ourselves a break. We'll be back with everyone's number one song next. Also, Ozzy and Ray got themselves a review of the aforementioned Transformers waiting in the wings as well. We'll do all that when we come back. To my list, yeah. Mick. All right. Before we get to all our number one, again, not necessarily most annoying, although that helps, just stuck in your head, Marcos on line 8 caught my eye. Marcos?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What do you got for us?
Black Eyed Peas, My Humps.
Mm. Oh. I hate it when people call in and are smarter than us.
Yeah. What you
gonna do with but all that junk? Let me just say this. It does send a nice message to the young girls.
Sure.
Yes, it does.
Sure. That's why I pipe this into my girls' room every night, because I want her to, you know, make sure the fellas, even at the preschool level, know what's going on with their lady humps, you know?
You just gotta celebrate that.
And, you know,
now you need to pump into the little boy's room. She ain't nothing but a hoe.
Right.
So,
right.
So they just grow up and know exactly how to treat the other gender.
I don't want to get too preachy, but the time, just like saving for college, you don't start saving for college after the kid graduates high school. You start when they're very young.
Yeah.
You start teaching your girl about her lady humps far before the humps show up.
You got to. Also, is it too soon to start...
Preemptive hump advice. Your lady humps.
Is it too soon to start insinuating that she looks fat?
You mean for my daughter,
yeah,
in order to lose weight?
Yeah. When is it too soon?
Daddy, do these diapers make me look fat? Diapers make my ass look big?
You're like, guys, loaded, baby. Do you really need more oatmeal? Do you really need it?
No, I got her a feather she can put down her throat, and... And actually, Kenner's making my first vomitorium. It's a little plastic. You know what? I probably said too much. I want to be a surprise.
Flintstones laxatives.
All right, T. Thank God you're not bitter about any of this stuff.
Oh, I know.
What's your number one song it's stuck in your head?
This is a hateful ditty. Oh, this much ish. All the girls don't feel like this. Yeah.
This song. And I like a lot of Gwen Stefani songs, but I really do hate this song. I know, I put a pox on the band and her many years ago, and she
they've
just
done nothing since.
Faded off into the sunset. Never heard from her since, well, I guess I put the pox on her and the band somewhere around 96, so.
Killed
what's it been, 10 years? At least. Yeah, she's a billionaire. Yes, but I do hate this song. Danny?
All right.
What do you got?
This has not been in my head every day for years and years and years. But when it does pop into my head, and it does, it, for no apparent reason, I should probably take some more kind of medication for that. This song will just come to me. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the hamster dance.
The hamster dance.
The hamster dance.
Who is this?
I don't know. I just actually had it.
I don't even remember this one.
You don't remember the hamster dance?
No.
Are you high? It's what made people invent whack-a-mole.
Enough is enough!
It's kind of cute.
No, because this is all it does. It's forever.
This is it.
Yeah, this is it.
I know. I'm going
to explain why the hamsters are dancing right now.
I feel like if you put this to dueling banjos, you'd really have something.
I am.
I'm never going to get tired of this.
I am. I have my number one song. Let's let me talk to Ryan here from Los Angeles on line three first, just because poor guy's been on hold for half an hour. Ryan?
Hey, how's it going?
What's up, buddy? What's happening? What is the song you'd like to contribute?
It's a jingle. It's the Empire Carpet jingle.
Ooh.
Nice thinking.
Empire.
Oh, yeah.
1-800-588-2600.
Empire. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, that is stuck in my head. And again, I guess whoever came up with that, along with the Pete Ellis Dodge theme, I guess you guys deserve some sort of advertising award.
I'm
because
sure they got it.
Yeah.
Literally, I don't know the address to my grandmother's house.
Right.
My grandmother has lived in the same house for 50 years. I've been to her house 500,000 times. She lives in North Hollywood. She's always lived less than a mile away from me. I know the name of the street she lives on, and I have no idea what her address is, but I know exactly how to get to Pete Ellis Dodge. And I could tell you how to get to Pete Ellis Dodge. I couldn't tell you. Now, if I was going to tell you how to get to my grandma's house, it'd be, well, go down Magnolia and hoof a ride on and then start looking for the orange house. It looks like the old person's living in it. But I couldn't tell you the address. Pete Ellis, tell you just how to get there. That is effective advertising, but perhaps there's a class action lawsuit that we could all file against whoever
came
up with that.
Yes, I still remember the list of locations. Maybe, Brian, you'll remember. Dublin, Berkeley, San Lorenzo, Cupertino, San Jose. Remember that commercial from the Bay Area when we were kids?
What was that one
for? You don't remember that? I can't remember, but I remember all the cities.
Well, you got to understand that Bald Brian is only 26 and a half, so he's almost two years younger.
2 or 3 years
than
younger.
Than you. All right.
He's listening to Transformers.
What is my...
He's an old guy compared to my date.
My number one stuck in my head song. Well, here we go. And this... This came about, I think, when we were playing it, talking about, hey, Paula.
Yeah.
Her new reality show, but it just got wedged in there. And I guess that's how you can define a happy life versus a sad life. Do you think about the songs that annoy you more or the songs that you love more? Do you think about the good things people said about you more or the bad things people said about you more? For me, it's Joe Rogan and Paul Abdul straight up all the way home today.
I'm the glass is not only half empty, it's got a hair in it.
Oh, really? And we're talking
mine
about a pew.
Mine is. Yeah. The glass is half empty. I want to break it and cut myself with it.
Yes. Wow. You can
just if you wanted to feel better about yourself, that's how you wanted to choose your morning shows, pick us.
Well, before...
It lets the pain out.
Before we go to break, I do want to give a little honorable mention to get the party started from John over here.
Right.
Hey, Mickey.
Oh, that's
Tony
good
Basil.
Oh,
girls really just want to have fun. Tub thumping.
Jeez.
How does that one go?
Chumbawamba. I get knocked down.
Oh,
I get up again. There we go. Nice job, Bald Brian.
Oh, it just wormed
theme
in.
Theme from Sanford and Son, It's a Small World, the Disney
I
ride.
I get knocked down, pulling you up again.
And, of course, Kokomo from the Beach Boys.
Yeah, nice.
BZ.
Oh, our, BZ.
Our brother from Los Angeles offered that one up. All right.
Fingers today.
T.
Yeah.
The news.
Well, as if this day couldn't get any better for you, Adam, Eva Longoria was married. We'll have the details.
I just dumped coffee all over me. Look at this.
That's, oh, my T-shirt.
That guy who did radio show, and he has a beef with Carlos Mencia, Joe Rogan or something.
Yeah. But you know what? Joe Rogan was on that show, News Radio, so maybe that was the confusion.
Yeah. He's also on Fear Factor for 20 years.
But this is going to cheer you up. You were outside Mr. Chow, and TMZ showed up. And they taped you giving away some secret information about Jimmy Kimmel. We'll play that.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll be back with that. And then Ozzy and Ray got their Transformers review coming up, too. All coming up next on the Adam Carolla Show.
And now, the Adam Carolla Show presents Great Moments in Local News.
Tonight, hook her up if you can. She tried everything for fuller lips. Now, will this quick new procedure give her a lasting, luscious smile, or is it just more lip service?
That's a great moment in local news. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, good news for fans of the news. We got plenty of time for news this morning. Teresa.
Yes.
Let's get it started, baby.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news today.
Yeah.
New opening's throwing me off.
What was the excuse the last 9 months?
Get me a piece of glass so I can cut myself just a little bit under the desk.
Remember, you're in love, baby.
Oh, yeah.
You ain't going to get any happier than this. This is it for you.
I am obscenely, sickeningly happy.
Now when you hear, hey, I see a new opening and I'm excited, it'll probably be from somebody else and make you happy.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Don't let this opening throw you.
That's right. Speaking of sickeningly happy, Eva Longoria and Tony Parker.
Yeesh.
They love each other so much. And now they're married. They got married in a civil ceremony at Paris City Hall on Friday. Then Saturday, they had their big ceremony at a church right across from the Louvre in Paris. And then a reception, which was held at a 17th century castle just outside Paris.
Do we not have locations that people can get married here in the United States anymore?
Where'd you get married?
I got married in my backyard.
Right. Everybody's got a... Surely Eva Longoria's got a yard?
Yeah, I mean, here's, well, first off, you know why they do it? They want to outdo whoever did it. You know, Tom Cruise did this, so I got to do that. The reality is all you people live in mansions, and if you don't live in a mansion, boy, do you know somebody lives in a mansion. Right. I guarantee Eva Longoria could get almost anyone to fork over their mansion for an evening. You have a big thing in Beverly Hills. Everyone gets to drive to it. Maybe a couple people fly in from New York, and that's about that.
Note to self, ask Adam to get married in his yard.
Yes.
Yeah,
you're the only person I know with a mansion. Danny used to have one.
I still have one. I just live in one room of it. I got married in my living room. I have a tiny little apartment.
There you go. Well, to be fair, Tony Parker was born in Belgium and raised in France. So that's his home country.
Oh, all right.
So maybe he has people over there. There were 250 guests, including some of Eva's Desperate Housewives co-stars, Terry Hatcher, Nicolette Sheridan, and Felicity Huffman,
mm-hmm.
who brought her husband, William H. Macy. Some of the other celebrity guests, Sheryl Crow, Jessica Alba, Mario Lopez, and Ryan Seacrest.
She took Lopez to her wedding.
They used to date.
They're just good friends, Danny. They're just good friends.
I would never, ever, ever tolerate that if I was that guy.
If you marry somebody, anyone she's
ever
slept
Mario
with.
You're saying Mario and Eva have been together?
All right, yes, I am. I'm saying that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So he shouldn't be allowed at the ceremony.
Of course not.
It was a long time ago.
So what?
You wouldn't allow that?
I don't know. I'm trying to think. I would not be a fan of it. I don't think any guy would. I think there's circumstances where people remain friends or become friends, and then they're friends before you meet the person, and then they're grandfathered in.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, here's what you can't do.
Unless you're me. and have no manners.
You can't have sex with somebody or have a relationship with somebody, then break it off, then lose touch, then have the new guy come in, and then reestablish after the new guy.
Got it.
If you're friends straight on through,
right,
then it's first come, first serve.
You've got a grandfather in.
Or first serve, you know, flip flop. Either way you work it.
Yeah.
Right.
That makes sense.
So maybe Mario was grandfathered in.
Right. I think so.
I think the only thing Mario hasn't been in is a grandfather.
It does sound like a horrible sex position.
It really does. Reverse cowgirl or grandfather in? I'll take the cowgirl. Last week in...
I'll take reverse cowboy over grandfathered in.
Last week, a cop in Orange Beach, Alabama, saw a red Chevy Monte Carlo speed by him. So he flashed his lights and he signaled to the driver to stop, but the Monte Carlo took off.
Mm-hmm.
So he called for backup, and it ended up to be a high-speed chase. The driver reached 100 miles per hour before she hit another car. She flipped over. When the cops got over to the wreck of a car, they saw the driver. She turned out to be 11 years old and drunk. The good news is she wasn't hurt.
Seriously, you are an alcoholic.
She had a couple cuts and bruises, but there's going to be some serious damage to her permanent record. She was charged with drunk driving, speeding, leaving the scene of an accident, and reckless endangerment. They're not sure where she got the alcohol or the keys from.
What city did this take place in?
Orange Beach, Alabama.
Uh-huh.
On the Gulf of Mexico.
The car was what make again?
Chevy Monte Carlo.
All right. Going with the definitely not a Jew. That's what I'm going with here. Leader in the clubhouse.
I'm going speeding, leaving the scene of an accident, being drunk and being 11. I'm just going, that's my girl.
Definitely not a Jew.
That's my little baby.
Well, I was looking at TMZ this morning, as I want to do, an entertainment website. And, you know, occasionally you're used to seeing Danny, like stories about Danny Bonaducci. He's the new McConaughey because he always has his shirt off. You know, he's ripped.
And McConaughey sucks.
Like, we need another one of him.
Yeah. That's it.
Carolla keeps himself out of the spotlight, so I don't usually see you, Adam, except today.
Well, I had a little insight to me. I love being left alone.
Yes.
I hate being looked at.
Yes.
I carry a sign that says, look at me.
I don't like going places where there are going to be lines and cameras and other people. I like my TiVo and my cars and my kids.
Although you looked as though you were with your wife and perhaps another relation.
I make my wife and children ask me for my autograph every day when I walk in the house.
And you were at Mr. Chow.
Yeah, very hot bistro in Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
Well, the thing about it, it is most of these places are just sort of trendy, you know, sort of food's no better than the place on the corner.
Right.
It's just this place is trendy. This place is really good. And a friend of mine who does like these kind of scenes invited me and my wife.
Yeah, Daniel. You can see him in the video.
Right. He's
standing near you.
The real tragedy this whole outing was when the $600 bill came for the four of us. And my wife whipped out the credit card and threw it on the thing. And when my buddy Daniel pulled out the credit card, the guy who invited us to Mr. Chow.
He should pay.
My wife was insulted.
Wow.
Oh, we'll have none of it. And I was like, yes, we will.
Yeah, bro,
we will have half of it. And she's like, no, I insist. You are a liability. You cost me money. You are going to pay? Now, look, I'm willing to go along with the charade where my dog buys me an anniversary gift,
right,
or my kids buy me a whatever gift, or even when my wife buys me a gift, I buy it.
But you are
not going to be paying for this. And we were invited. Now, if you make a scene about it, then you're the world's cheapest dick in the world. But we got invited by Daniel to go to Mr. Chow's. To me,
this is what you woke me up for.
Here's the etiquette. You guys tell me if you agree or disagree. The person that does the inviting pays.
Yes.
If it's the person invites, but the other person makes more than twice as much money as the person does invite, then I'll accept a split. See, I don't want someone who makes considerably less than me paying for anything that I do.
That's terrible.
But if they do the invite, we'll do the split.
Yeah.
You pull out each credit card and toss it on there.
I'll even do a little better than that, in the sense that if you invite me to, where did I go yesterday? That was just a normal place.
Hamburger.
I love Beef Bowl. It's my favorite in the world.
Fish and
Oil? Guess.
God, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I went to Hamburger Hamlet. It was $17. I would let whoever invited pay. But I don't have friends with very good jobs. And if we went to a place that was like $100 and I make 10 times more money than you, right. I don't care if you invited me or not. I'll slip the maitre d' the check, the credit card before the check comes.
Right.
So my friend doesn't even have a chance to
pay.
Yes,
I do that too. Like on my birthday, I invited all my girlfriends out and then I paid because I feel bad. Inviting them out.
Well, yeah. $600 for Kung Pao chicken.
That is rough.
That's a little rough day.
But that's what you woke me up for.
But when you got outside, the cameras from TMZ were there.
Yeah, well, the paparazzi kind of gathers around.
Yeah, it sounded like there was a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And you were holding court. Let's take a listen.
What's behind Jimmy Kimmel like?
You know he's gay, right? That's not news. Come on.
Jimmy. No, Jimmy's not gay.
No.
It's good. No, it's not good.
Believe me.
No,
it's not good. No. How do you think I got on the man show? On the man show.
Then he went on to call Sarah Silverman a lesbian.
That's great. He had a great line coming up about this. Yeah.
Nothing,
Sarah Silverbeard.
Nothing I had planned. I had a couple of boozes in there.
You looked happy.
Drunk.
Not a ton.
You looked happy, and Lynette's behind you. She looks gorgeous, but she looks a little like, wonder how long this is going to go on.
I spent the last week at home complaining about everything under the sun, and she's basically told me to shut up on Friday. An ass full of me complaining about everything.
Really?
Shut up, you drunken witch.
Just said, look, knock it off.
She's not impressed, I think, is what the answer would be. Small doses. You know, look, everyone wants to go out and have an ice cream on a hot summer night. But right. If you work at an ice cream store and it's nothing but ice cream for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, how long before you tell that Rocky Road to shut up?
Wow.
Yeah.
Stuff.
Ben, Jerry, shut your piles.
That's the new headline you realize right there, Diane. Corolla's on a rocky road.
There you go.
That's right.
Okay, so Avril Lavigne is now being sued by this band, 70s band, called the Ruby News. I hope I'm saying that correctly.
Mm.
They're saying that she ripped off one of their songs.
Mm-hmm.
And she's personally responded to these claims on her website, saying that, quote, two guys who wrote for some band from the 1970s I've never in my life heard of called the Ruby News are trying to sue me. Their song has no musical similarities to the song Girlfriend that Luke Gottwald and I wrote together. She goes on and on to say that maybe the song is similar to Get Off My Cloud by the Rolling Stones. Maybe it's similar to I Want to Be Your Boyfriend by the Ramones, but is not similar to this song from the 70s. I will let you guys take a listen.
Mm-hmm.
This is Avril Lavigne's new song.
Sound like Get Off of My Cloud.
Yeah. I guess
the Stones are not suing her, but the Ruby News are. And let's take a listen to their song called I Want to Be Your Boyfriend.
Ozzy will be in doing a review that you won't be able to understand in just a few minutes.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. It's like we talk about, hey, you stole that joke.
Right.
Hey, man, I don't know what that joke. There are only so many funny thoughts, so many music, so many themes, so many ways you can put together a chord and a note. Eventually.
There's that missing note I keep hearing about, but it's still missing.
Yeah.
Lost chord, that's what it is.
I think it's with the G spot. Is it a G minor?
I don't know. I can't find it, dude.
The point is...
No, she can't be a minor. What are you, crazy?
I'll just go to my beloved automobiles. When there's three or four types of cars out there, then maybe those three or four look very different from one another.
Right.
But when there's 400,000 types and they all have four wheels and bumpers on the front and the back and a windshield, eventually two of them are going to sort of look alike.
Yes.
That's what we're at now. I mean, I don't know how many songs there were in 1980 versus how many songs there were in 07,
Brian.
But it's another billion songs,
yeah.
And things are going to start. You know the thing that's freaky? The thing that's freaky is that not many people look alike, which is weird.
Yeah.
There are people that remind you of other people, but there's nobody who could walk in here where I'd go, Bonaducci? And then I'm, no.
But not if you know me that well, because this is where I beg to differ. I get calls all the time, or did on my last show, where people would thank me for hanging out with them and letting them buy me drinks all night in Long Beach.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And there's like five of them. There's like five guys that look enough like me to get free drinks.
Mm.
I don't even get free drinks, and I'm actually me.
Hmm. You're saying you're you?
I am me.
Oh.
But there are real...
Hold on. I need some ID. The ID that says me on it.
I have my wallet over there.
Still, there's George Clooney, and every once in a while they do that thing where he goes, this guy looks just like George Clooney, except for it looks like George Clooney with Down syndrome,
right.
Or George Clooney plus 20 pounds or something. You go,
And Tom Cruise, either 20 years in the future or 20 years in the past.
Right. Just think there's enough human beings running around on the planet, and I don't know how much the DNA changes from person to person, or whether we're all human beings.
Right.
It's not like, well, this guy, he mated with a water buffalo,
right.
And this one mated with a badger. It's like we're all just humans. You'd think there'd be more. I don't know if you pick your Heidi Klums or your whoever. Just think it'd be nice if there was more of them.
I think it'd be nice if when you went to Grauman's Chinese, any of the characters out front actually looked like any of the characters in the movies.
Well, I would I would submit that.
And they should wash those suits.
They should. I would submit that as human beings, we have a very, very finely tuned ability to recognize faces.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we do look alike, but we're very good at differentiating facial features.
I'll tell you, I'd like to do something to Avril Lavigne's face.
Grudge.
I can tell you a house you can buy.
I hate her, but I love her simultaneously. I can't stand her, but God. I got a score to settle with her face.
Well, it's
not,
house on
it's
beach
not,
with Gannon, buddy.
It's not complicated, as her song goes.
I'll wipe the smile right off that baby.
In closing, number one at the box office. Transformers making $67.6 million. Up to a total of $153 million since it opened late Monday night. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
Tomorrow's news, today, Teresa Strasser.
I prefer yesterday's news today.
Yeah.
That's more insulting to me.
No, this is much better.
Sweet.
But look at this as insulting, like when you call a fat guy stretch.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Right. Got it.
Thank you. We'll take a quick break. And speaking of Transformers, Raina, is he going to be in here?
Hey, you, get out to my claw.
Brian and I saw it as well, so we'll jump in on it and offer a little assist next on The Adam Carolla Show.
It's time to play Guess the Movie Quote with our Nicaraguan movie reviewer, Oswaldo Castillo. Can you guess which movie this famous line is from?
Jaws, as we outside.
If you said Major League,
just a bit outside,
you're correct. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
I was stumped. That's a Jaws.
I thought so too. At least I know who said it.
All right, Ozman and Ray with an assist, and not only an assist on the Transformers, but a personal story from our childhood
good
coming
morning,
up.
Good morning, everybody.
As
good
well.
Morning.
Good to see Ozman. It's been at least 11 hours since I saw Ozzy last. Let's do our review. Let's do our intro.
Oswaldo
and Ray,
tell us about the movie. We want to know which movies you have seen. Go ahead, Oswaldo.
And Ray.
Tell us.
The movie Ray and I are reviewing today is Transformer. Transformer star Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah, I can't say Shia LaBeouf either.
It's Sam Witwick.
What's his name?
It is Sam Witwick.
All right.
Wait, isn't that the native guy in Moby Dick?
Moby Dick?
Yeah, that's, what the hell's his name?
Witwick.
Yeah.
Josh Duhamel is Sergeant Leno.
Mm-hmm.
Can't even.
And Tyrek Gibson is USAC Tech Sergeant X.
Wow, we've gotten off to a horrible start.
That's rough, man.
So yes, Tyrese Gibson is U.S. Air Force Tech Sergeant Epps.
Epps.
Right.
Epps.
Nice.
Why don't they just get Omar Epps then, you know?
It's a good point. Yeah. Make his last name Gibson.
There you go.
Gibson.
Yeah.
Gibson.
You know.
Transformers is an exciting film about robots. Mm-hmm. Superpower based in the comic book about the intergalactic war between two races, the robot.
Mm-hmm. I must say, I never watched Transformers when it was a cartoon and everything, but the idea of the transforming robots and the good and the bad and ruining their planet and all that kind of stuff, I was down with all that.
I thought the toy was a very clever idea. I never watched the show, but I thought the toy was really cool. It's a fire truck, and then all of a sudden it's a robot.
You need to bring the Sonny for they make idea.
I'll bring Sonny, If you want to check out the toy, by the way, we can just pull it out of Brian's ass and you can. he keistered it in the ninth grade. It's been there ever since. Yeah.
It's got a collection on beads.
Yeah.
Brian beads.
I have the small ones to make a bigger one in there right now, actually.
It's unfolding.
How do you think he lost 60 pounds?
Yeah. Maybe he can transform you into a man, Brian. Ever think about that?
Or a non-virgin.
Mm. All right, Oz. Sorry. Keep going, buddy.
The Autobot is the god. The good race.
The good race.
The good race and the evil Decepticon have the bad power.
Mm-hmm.
This change into a variety the object include
A variety of objects.
Variety of objects.
You don't pre-read this, do you?
I try. He writes it.
Okay.
Please don't break the fourth wall.
English, we need it. Do you speak
it? I try. Including car, boat, plane, and all technological creation.
Let me ask this. I have a nerd question for you, Brian.
Yeah. I'll find a nerd to get an answer for you.
The Autobots are the good guys, right?
That's
Decepticons, bad guys.
That's right.
The Autobots stayed in the same man-made creations, the fire truck or the ambulance, the sports car. You know, by the way, GM must have given them 30 cars for all these. It was all like GM products, including Pontiac. But the point is the Decepticons sort of kept the same thing, too. But couldn't they technically change into anything they wanted?
Yes.
And therefore, once people caught on you were Sherman Tank as a bad guy, you should become a fire hydrant.
The short nerd answer is that on their home planet of Cybertron, they were originally interstellar vehicles,
when
they came to Earth, they were transformed into different things based on where they crashed. The Decepticons became planes and such, armor vehicles, and the Autobots became common vehicles.
All right, so you couldn't, once you become an M1 tank, you are an M1 tank.
In the cartoon, that's correct, but remember, at least one of the Transformers changed halfway through.
I was pumped.
And the one who changed from a crappy Camaro to a nice Camaro.
That's true.
So you can go from Decepticon to Autobot?
No, you can know. Well, in the cartoon,
you can trade, right?
In the cartoon, there were characters who bled over from evil to good.
All right. Okay. I'm sorry I asked. Ozzy?
Kind of like the WWE. Yeah.
Brian, you scared me.
Let's go back into the frying pan with your review.
Yeah, click. Sam trying to explain what happening to the car. Click, Brian, please.
What is it?
It's a robot. But like a different, you know, like a super advanced robot. It's probably Japanese. Yeah, it's definitely Japanese.
That was Shia LaBeouf and his super hot 28-year-old high school.
Yeah, that threw me off, too.
Junior. Couldn't think of her name.
Megan Fox.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's a really advanced robot.
Hot and
Huge laughs, too.
I got bumped, as I always do whenever they talk about anything mechanical and screw it up. It just makes me angry. It's not because I know the topic. It's because they don't research the topic, and it seems lazy to me. And she popped the hood on his Camaro, and she had to prove to the audience that she was a gearhead. And she did that move where she popped the hood and went, oh, looks like you got a Holley double pumper with a high-rise manifold.
Bobby!
And that's fine, except for what I was looking at was four side draft Webers in a low-rise manifold. And I know
this is amazing.
I know this is why my wife wants a divorce. I'm angry because somebody wrote that in the script right. 2 years ago, and they didn't get the car that matched that, and they didn't change the script. And so the chick that was supposed to have that point where she convinced everyone that she was really a gearhead just convinced me she didn't know what she was talking about.
Well, I go to see the movie for the fourth time today, and I go to the Q&A with the writers afterwards. I'll be sure to ask him.
No.
Please.
Brian, how many times were you excited during this movie? How many erections?
Like, actually physically aroused?
Yes. Yeah.
More than could possibly be counted.
Listen, I was afraid after the movie to get in my car because I knew I'd have to go back to North Hollywood. And sure enough, that's where I wound up.
The other part that was a weird part in the movie, too, and Brian, you helped me on this one, when there was the Hoover Dam, and they're going to go to Mission City. Yeah, which is just outside.
22 miles.
22 miles south of Hoover Dam is Mission City. And then they shoot the entire thing in the Los Angeles skyline.
Is it like Wilshire Boulevard? It's like, Wilshire Boulevard.
There's the B of A building over there in the back.
Is anybody getting the point that they just didn't give a rat's ass?
Yeah, but what about they did about the Hoover Dam? Of also being at the Hoover Dam and not breaking it with these huge robots.
Yeah, you got to blow up that Hoover
Dam. What about hearing the rest of Ozzy's review?
Yeah, go ahead, Ozzy.
Thank you. I say, Ray and me, Transformer, let this reviewer call.
And
Ray.
We hope you did not end up too confused.
Brian, I'm kind of with you because I have a crush on Bumblebee.
Yeah. Sweet Camaro.
He spoke entirely in drops. How awesome was that?
It was great.
Yeah, it was a fun movie and a lot of action. And people said it was long, but you know what? It moved pretty good. And Shia LaBeouf was really good.
Well,
and
he's dead.
Yeah.
Okay. I haven't seen him in a week.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, he's been with Grandma.
Your daughter will probably like it.
She's all goth now.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun action and all that stuff. And overall, definitely considering how disappointing everything else was this summer and how crappy. I didn't see Spider-Man. I just hear boring. And I did see a lot of the summer blockbusters, most all disappointing and long. This apparently is sort of the cream of a super crappy crop, right? But
Absolutely.
Still...
And standing ovation after the movie.
Really?
Still no...
Bridling the charge.
A lot of orthopedic shoes.
Wow.
I was going to say, still no Terminator. I don't know why I keep getting back to that one, but that had a great story, was funny, tons of action, and just all in the right,
what was the last
right
time you
mixture.
Saw it?
Well, the first one I know is kind of a low budget. I mean, relatively low budget, and some of the effects look a little dated.
Yeah.
But the second one...
I wasn't asking in an accusatory fashion. I'm just wondering if they look dated.
The first one does. The first Terminator, although that's like 80, what?
84.
84.
Second one's 91 and it holds up.
Right, yeah.
What about the original Star Wars, 77?
You are scary.
And the whole sort of Terminator thing and the whole Transformer thing is kind of the same thing in the sense that the guy can take on many different shapes and forms, and that's what
and
made it
interesting.
And the
bad robots also look like Terminator.
Right.
One head bad.
Well, when are the Wonder Twins?
What's his name, Brian?
Out.
Mega what?
Megatron.
Oh, yeah.
We'll take a mega break. Ozzy.
Yes, sir?
Nice job.
Thank you.
Now go to my house and get busy. Take a quick break. Be right back after this.
Make a morning.
Well, there you have it. Another Monday. Safely in the ground. All right. I want to thank, really nobody. Thank myself for showing up. T and Danny Bonaducci, of course, Ray and Ozzy. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
Who were the hosts of The Man Show?
It's that guy who did radio show and he has a beef with Carlos Mencia. Joe Reagan or something.